If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Is Ralph's penis really that small? Is Ralph's penis really that small? Ask his ex-girlfriends, they didn't feel a thing at all. Is Ralph's penis really that small?
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
See how they come at black people?
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
Black people are very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance, and if you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it.
And now...
You actually had a flu shot.
I actually had a flu shot.
Really? How'd you get it?
I got it right in the butt.
Our feature presentation.
I'm not sure that was the intent of the reporter's question.
Probably not, yeah.
No.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Thursday, the 2nd of...
August.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Lisa, how many plays did you see yesterday?
None. I saw Shooter on Netflix.
Oh, the movie, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
How was that?
It's pretty good, actually.
Not too bad, right?
No, I enjoyed it. It's the kind where you, like, cheer when 500 people die. It's so not, that was good.
It's not at all possible, but...
No, but if, I like it, their theories.
If you can get past that, then it's a fine movie, yeah.
The whole, you know, there's really no government. There's no Republicans or Democrats. It's just the haves and the have-nots, my friends.
That's what it is.
That's it. That's what I learned last
night. That's Mark Wahlberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of only two or three people that can make that shot.
He's amazing. And Danny Glover, who never talks beyond this? What
no, that's
to
true.
His voice?
I
Has
don't
he
know.
Always been that way?
That's a good question.
It's just gone.
I love Danny Glover. But
he's great, but that's how he talks.
Last time we had Danny Glover on the show, you recall, he was pushing his new French fry restaurant. I wonder whatever happened to that. I never heard anything else about it. Remember they only sold French fries or... baked potatoes or some sort of potato.
I don't even remember
some sort of a
that.
Potato restaurant.
That's right.
Where was it?
It was in L.A.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was
so.
Grand opening.
In Westwood, I think. Lightning's telling me.
We got to find that place.
How bizarre is that, though?
We love French fries.
I have a friend who only eats potatoes. Only potatoes.
That's,
and I mean literally.
Is he Irish?
No, it's a woman, and she only eats, I don't know why or how it got started.
No vegetables? No
nope.
fruit?
Nope.
Really?
No meat?
Potato. Nope.
Just no chocolate milkshakes?
Is she...
Wait a minute. Hang on. Are chocolate milkshakes made out of potatoes?
No, they are not.
Then no.
Does she drink vodka?
That was my next
that
question.
I don't know.
Is she really skinny?
Yes, but not unhealthy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
A person can live their whole life on potatoes and not be unhealthy.
She'll go to a restaurant and try to order off the menu and say, can you make something with potatoes? And usually they can, and they'll just, you know, whatever.
Okay, at some point, you've asked her how this got started.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Does she have cheese with
her potatoes? I
don't
think she knows. Maybe, sometimes. I mean, I don't think she's against cheese, but it has to be a potato.
Oh, okay, but she can mix other things with it.
It is
okay.
The one thing that in all different type of cultures and all different types of cuisine you can find. It is a staple of, I mean, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But eating only that.
No, it's stupid and ridiculous, but I'm just saying, if you know... Even beef, you can't. You go to say Indian restaurants or something. Potatoes, pretty much
across
the board. There's.
Will she have beef in her potato?
I don't think so.
That sounded so good.
It did.
I know it did, didn't it?
I just got strangely turned on.
I just wanted to say it.
Mm-hmm. So, what does she do if everybody says, "Hey, let's go get Chinese tonight" or "Let's go get Thai tonight"? I mean, you can't get a potato with a Chinese restaurant.
I think she doesn't eat.
Huh.
That's the most bizarre diet I've ever heard in my life.
I know it's weird.
Could we talk to her?
Maybe.
I would like to.
I'll ask her and see. I don't know.
Wasn't there some little kid who for years would only eat, was it peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Something like that. His parents couldn't get him to eat anything else. And there was a big uproar because they thought, oh, that's so unhealthy. But the kid was fine.
Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly might be the perfect meal.
It might be the perfect food. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
There are times where it's the only thing that will do. It's the only acceptable food that you can actually eat at that time and be happy.
Right. Yeah.
My brother-in-law doesn't eat anything green.
Nothing
refuses. And he's like, I'm pretty sure I'd probably love avocados, but I'm not eating it, dude. It's green. I mean, he really won't.
It's a color thing?
Yeah.
He can't.
Yeah.
It grosses
them out?
It's
not a fruit thing. It's a color thing.
Yeah, he doesn't think that food that's that color should be...
What?
Should be put in a human body.
This, see, this is all stuff
vegetables.
That,
oh, no, vegetables. Out of question.
This is all stuff that should be figuratively slapped out of you by the time you're five. You know what I mean? But some people...
Yes.
Some people just hang on to it, and they live their whole lives like that. You go, what the hell?
Billy Bob Thornton won't eat orange food. That seems less limiting than green food.
Yeah.
I'll say but
he'd be like, why would I want to eat vegetables? You know, they're green, but he'll have corn or summer squash or something.
Anything that's not green.
Yeah.
We may have to do a phone-in topic on this, on food oddities that people have like this.
Yes.
Because
strange diets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potatoes only may be one of the strangest things I've ever heard in my
life. Isn't it
weird?
Although if you can eat fries three times a day, that's not bad.
No, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's funny because I've been friends with him for a long time. And just to us, it's normal. You know what I mean?
You said it was a woman before.
Yeah, it is. I said them. Okay. We've been friends with them. She and her husband, yeah.
How about potato pancakes?
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Potato latke.
Probably.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff made with potatoes. You'd be surprised. But she finds it.
Maybe I'll go to the potato diet.
If you're going
to
pick one thing, I'm only going to eat that for the
right. Chocolate milkshake.
Potatoes might be a good choice. As far because you're it's pretty broad, the stuff you can have.
Sure.
I mean, you can go to the Italian restaurant and get some gnocchi. You could go to, Bean was saying Chinese restaurant or Thai restaurant. I was just at a Thai restaurant the other night. You can get a vegetarian dish that is based essentially in potato. And then obviously any European culture is going to have a lot of potato food. So, I mean, that's a pretty good choice.
I guess, but at what age do you stop saying, I'm only going to eat potatoes?
You crave something else.
No, it's asinine.
Anything
else. It's ridiculous. I'm just saying.
Yeah. If you're going to pick one food.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's the one. If you are forced to pick one food and stick with it.
That's a gun to your head.
Yeah.
Let's all try it.
It's
Let's
really
all do
bizarre.
I have to know if the only liquor she drinks is vodka.
That's the obvious question.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
All right, well, let's try to talk to her.
Doesn't look unhealthy at all, though. I mean, she looks great. She's fine.
Well, she's mixing a few other foods in with her potatoes.
I guess,
you could have potato with broccoli in it and some cheese. That's really tasty.
That's wild. That's a bizarre story, right?
Isn't
there.
I mean, you know, 2 weeks into it, you go, all right, pretty tired of potatoes. I'm moving on.
I would think.
Speaking of bizarre stories, let me just hit this real fast because I know we never have time to get to anything fun during the show.
Mm-hmm. Talking about
because it's long and torturous and tedious, and we never talk about the good stuff. But this is awesome. This is a guy, true story, who bought a lottery ticket in Britain. And plays the same numbers every week. You know those people that do that, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's no reason to play the same numbers. There's no, you know, extra advantage to doing that. But a lot of players do it. Maybe it's just too much work to come up with new numbers every week.
Or maybe they just think that it has to eventually come up, which is patently false.
Lucky
yeah,
numbers.
Just absurd, right?
Maybe that's what they do.
He's 59 years old. He bought his usual lottery tickets with his regular number and then forgot that he had bought the ticket. So went out and bought another one. And I think you can probably guess where that story goes. There were two winners of those numbers, and he didn't realize that he was both of them until many days after he remembered that, oh, yeah, I did buy two tickets. I'm the guy who owns them both.
So he bought two tickets with the same numbers on it, and then those numbers were the winner.
That's right. His regular numbers finally came up on the week that he happened to buy two of them. Now, how bizarre is that?
Wow. Well, it's no different than if he had remembered and just kept the one, though, right? I mean, he still wins the same amount.
Exactly. Although I don't know if taxes work out differently if you're having to be taxed on two separate amounts versus on one big amount. But yeah, it was a $5 million jackpot. But how lucky is he that the 1 week he buys two is the week that it hits and he doesn't split it with anybody, I guess.
Yeah, he's pretty lucky.
I guess so.
I'd like to be that guy, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just bizarre. Two winners and you're both of them. I don't know that that's ever happened in a lottery anywhere. But he is, and this is what's one of the things I love about lottery players. He will continue to play the lottery with the same numbers, even though he's already won the $5 million jackpot.
Yeah. Yeah. Lottery players are nuts. Everybody has their thing that they know is going to help them win, and it never does. But
except for that guy.
Yeah.
Except for that guy. Except somebody wins. I mean, that's – you can
– But it's never us.
We've had this conversation so many times, you can say all you want about how you're more likely to be struck by lightning. And that's true, and it's fine, except somebody generally wins. There is somebody out there who does win, usually, you know?
But it's
like
not
right
you.
Now, the Powerball is $125 million or something like that, and it's absurd to buy tickets. There's no chance to win unless you're the one person who does.
Why do you keep buying tickets if you've won $5 million? That's not good enough for you?
No.
I don't get that.
Well, your odds are the same next week as they were last week, so I guess you figure it might happen again.
But you're fine. You're good. You're good to go. Enjoy your life.
You can buy a lot of potatoes with $5 million.
You can. That's true.
I'll tell you that.
You can eat like a queen.
You can go to Ireland to eat them.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We're going to talk to Austin Nichols, who is John from Cincinnati on HBO. That started right about when The Sopranos went off.
Yes.
I knew we were having him on. Have not seen any of the shows, so I watched one last night.
I hope it was the first one.
It was the one that was on this week.
Oh, no.
You thought you were lost in the first episode.
Up.
Yeah, yes. Honked up in a huge way.
Honked up. I have many questions, and I doubt there are many answers, but a bizarre hour of television.
They're all like that. But it kind of makes – you at least have some context, and it kind of makes sense if you start at the beginning and go, I think there's only been seven episodes.
Yeah. I think this was the seventh, yeah.
But
show to walk into cold, though. I'll tell you that.
No question about that.
You will not catch up.
And I want to beat up Austin Nichols, John, and I'll tell him that when we talk to him just after six.
I like him.
I don't know what the hell's going on. I've been watching. I've been trying to figure it out. I'm hooked. I can't get out of it.
Seven episodes in, they should be starting to pay off some of the questions, right? Are they? Or is it all just muddled and confusing every week?
It's muddled and confusing every week, but there are little clues along the way, but it's building to what looks like a climax this coming Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where we find out how the smoke monster was able to get over the fence?
No, that's a different show. Okay. That's Lost. Yeah. Also, if you missed it, we talked to Travis Pastrana about the X Games. We have that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, and we have Jeremy.
A white man shouldn't play sports in the first place.
Oh, come on, that's a good point. And we have Jeremy McGrath later on this morning.
Oh, good.
About the X Games as they begin today at Staples Center and Home Depot. Let's see here. What else do we have? We have Petros Papadakis coming into the studio.
What a dork!
Oh, we like him
coming in to talk about Barry Bonds and how he did last night.
Going to talk about his big pumpkin head, his big swollen head.
He was what did he get? Walked three times and
no walks last night.
No walks, yep. But no hits, no home runs.
No hits, no home runs.
He did. I'm sorry. I thought he was just flying out and grounding out.
All that matters is no home run.
Right.
No home runs. Right.
So that's good. That's good news. And then there's one more game tonight. And then hopefully we can breathe easily.
It is a weird, weird, weird environment at Dodger Stadium.
Did you go last night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the Barry thing. It is just strange.
What does that mean?
It's like they got these weird rules that they're enacting only because of this whole Barry. These kids in front of me in line had Barry Sucks shirts on. And the security at the gate at Dodger Stadium said, you're going to have to turn those inside out before we let you in.
Really?
Right?
Why?
So, because the Dodgers, I guess, are trying to give off an image of being a little bit more classy than other teams. And they don't want to, you know, obviously you're free to boo, but they don't want to be too low rent.
Hmm.
So the kids go to take off their shirts and their whole body is painted. One kid says R.O. and the other guy has I.D. Roy on their body. And then so security escorts them to the bathroom and makes them wash it off.
No kidding.
It's like it's the weirdest thing. Like and there's just a crap load of uniformed cops everywhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Who wants to live in an America where you can't paint things on your chest and go to a baseball game half naked? Come on.
You're right as an American, people.
I think so.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we have more tickets for you to go to the X Games. And I don't know if you saw the O.J. Simpson interview online, but it's spectacular.
I didn't.
And people were, you know how he always says everyone's nice to him and nobody brings up anything? That's not true. And you'll hear
some of the
phone callers that got through. 5:44, we'll take a quick break. And Ralph is here next with the Showbiz Bean.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Hey, you like the Weezer? I got the new Weezer for you.
That was A Moment with Bean.
That's how he buys his CDs, out of the back of someone's car.
Sure. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock 106.7 KRQ 552. Star of John from Cincinnati coming up after the top of the hour at 6. And by the way, in the 6 o'clock hour, how about this? Between 6 and 6:30, brand new Foo Fighters.
Oh,
can't wait.
Brand new Foo Fighters music. It's been a while since we've heard something new from them, but that's coming up next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat right now. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Speaking of John from Cincinnati, actually, there's two episodes left. There's this Sunday, and then the following Sunday will be the season finale, just to clear up any question people had. Got a few emails saying, I thought it was next, 2 weeks it was ending. I was like, that's right, relax.
Well, I sure jumped on board at the right time then.
Yeah,
it was perfect. You're completely screwed.
I'm so horked. Yeah, I can't. I can't watch
but
it
again. But
you're
really not as screwed as you think you are. But when you watched it, when you watched last night, you said, "Oh my God, how many years has this show been on the air?" In reality,
yeah,
you're just a little screwed because it was pretty much that confusing from get go.
It takes a complex mind like mine to keep track of all of it.
Yeah.
Right. So you can see that.
Bean hasn't even seen Mitch float.
No, he hasn't. That's true.
There's a dude who floats in the air, Bean. You missed him.
That is true.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is the Beverly Hills 90210 guy's on it and the Mary the Children guy's on it.
Yeah.
Luke Wilson.
He got screwed by my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar. Screwed him right out of his business. Mark Paul plays his vice president on that show, yeah. And they bind him out of stinkweed.
Ed O'Neill, fantastic, crazy man with a bird, tells him what to do.
Sitting atop the stairs holding his ears.
Like Luke Perry, by the way, is the actor, Kevin, really more than Luke Wilson.
Yeah, when I said it, I knew it wasn't right, but I couldn't figure it out.
I've learned now to not even catch Kevin's mistakes. Yeah. I just nod and keep moving on.
I appreciate that, Ralph.
Get back to my story, because who knows what he's saying.
That's helpful.
Did you happen to catch Nicole Richie yesterday on Good Morning America?
Not even a little bit.
They teased a little bit, giving you some details about the interview that's happening today and tomorrow, I guess, on 2020. She is finally talking publicly about her pregnancy, saying that, yes, she's 4 months along. And she says that the reason she drove the opposite direction on the 134 was that because she was taking Vicodin because of cramps, menstrual cramps. Mm. Mm. So we've got about 5 more months of safety, people. She also said that she wishes she could apologize to each and every family who's ever lost a loved one due to drunk driving or driving under the influence. But she just can't. She can't do it personally.
Well, that's true.
That is true.
You know what I will say about her, and it's impossible not to want to compare her to her BFF Paris Hilton in their, you know, behavior as they head into prison. She says, it's fair sentence. I deserve it. I should serve it. I will serve it. I believe in, you know, paying my debt to society, and it's a wake-up call, and I learned my lesson, and blah, 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 blah. She seems to be saying all the right things as she heads away to jail.
It is easy to say that when you get 4 days after you watch your friend get 23. I think you're
maybe that's part of it.
No, I'm good. Four? Cool. Great.
Good.
No problem. Four,
I'm in.
Four works. Clay Aiken and Dave the King of Mexico are lovers.
Really?
What?
I didn't know that.
Apparently, Clay Aiken is taking responsibility for having saved the canceled CBS show Jericho.
Clay Aiken is?
Yes.
How did he save it?
Thought that was Dave.
According to In Touch magazine, Clay claims that he blogged about the show being canceled, therefore his fans organized and saved the show for him.
Oh, dear. Gay. Are you kidding me?
So Dave and Clay are pretty much the same thing. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. He thinks his fans saved the TV show for him.
The Claymates. They organized, and they got the show saved.
That is delusion on a grand scale, my friends.
I don't want anything to do with Clay Aiken. That's what he said to me when I told Dave the story earlier today.
Gay.
Dave can't watch Jericho anymore because now he's a Claymate if he does?
I think he's been poisoned. Jake Gyllenhaal is having problems with his relationship with Reese Witherspoon.
She looks like a man.
Not even a little bit.
I'm just checking.
I don't think that's the problem at all. Life and Style Weekly magazine claims they know the problem.
Really?
Apparently, Jake Gyllenhaal had dinner at his apartment with Jessica Simpson. And apparently they had dessert as well. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying about dessert?
Yeah, they had like ice cream or cake.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Some kind of
pie. No, dessert. You know what I'm saying?
They did have some kind of pie, actually.
Apparently, Jake regretted his actions the next day, don't we all, and told Jess that he really wanted to develop a relationship with Reese. Kicked her to the curb and then confessed to Reese like an idiot.
Oh.
And she told him to hit the road, so...
There is no substitute for Bush.
That's true. That is true.
That is very true. I don't know what that means.
Well, something about dessert with Jessica, I think.
Yesterday, if you were watching the news, you probably saw Spice Girl Melanie B in court. She was having a big public relations press conference after the fact, where she has officially filed papers to make Eddie Murphy the legal father of her child. Murphy still hasn't stepped up to the plate and taken responsibility for that baby, who is now 4 months old.
Did they do the test?
Yes.
And Murphy's the dad.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, in case you're wondering why she felt the need to have a press conference, two words for you, Gloria Allred.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll stop talking about that story then.
Sorry? No, that was your focus.
The joke was coming up. big story. Gloria was all over it. Speaking of courtrooms and celebrities, R. Kelly. Remember that child porn case that he was dealing with?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s?
A Chicago judge says, well, jury selection's ready. We're ready to start selecting a jury. We're going to begin the case September 17th.
Is the victim still alive?
5 years after the original accusations.
What the hell?
Unbelievable. This thing is crawling towards a court date.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be a good summer for R. He's got the new chapters of Trapped in the Closet coming out in August. And then, boom, September, a big court tour.
He's doing a court tour, yeah.
He's playing the same venue day after day after day, but it's going to be hot.
Part of what screwed up his prosecution, if I remember at the time, was they had to throw out a bunch of evidence that was determined to be illegally seized in Florida. Remember he lost some of the Florida charges?
Oh, right. Yeah,
related
yeah.
to videotapes and stuff. So I guess Chicago still got him for this girly Pete on video.
He was illegally seizing himself. That's the problem. He was underage. He shouldn't be seizing a 16-year-old. The 2017 Choice Awards are coming up August 26th on Fox. They've announced that Hillary Duff and Nick Cannon will be co-hosts. Of course, the 2017 Choice Awards. Teen Choice Awards, of course, the only award show more bogus than the MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, yeah.
It's official. They just gave him that award. Lizzie McGuire, she's been up for 11 awards, Hillary has, for her performances in Lizzie McGuire with the Teen Choice Awards. She's been nominated 11 times. Mm. That's more than Katharine Hepburn was for Oscars. I think Hillary Duff is more talented than Katharine Hepburn. I think that's how we can extrapolate that from that information.
Quite a conclusion.
Yes. Other nominated actors and actresses include Jessica Alba.
That's what I'm talking
about. Ashley Simpson. Jane Cook, depending on how you feel about him. Lauren Conrad. Megan Fox.
Sure.
Emmy Rossum. Miley Cyrus.
Little Bill.
She's Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Anna Paquin. And Jared Padalecki. So good
which
luck
one's
to all
he,
the nominees.
He?
He's the one who's Jared Padalecki.
Oh, that guy. What is he in, though? What show is he on?
Supernatural.
Okay.
Yeah.
That clear it up, Bean?
All right.
Yeah, just... I hate it when...
When
Ralph's talking about a celebrity, I like to know who we're discussing.
Celebrity in quotes.
I've given up asking.
And I guess all this Mind Freak stuff, all this Chris Angel stuff is starting to get to David Blaine.
It should.
He's starting to crumble under the pressure of a magician garnering more favor than he. He was tossed out of a Hamptons nightclub, according to the New York Daily News, after he downed two drinks that didn't belong to him and then smashed the glasses on the floor.
Is that magic?
Not so much. I know if I was there, I'd be waiting for, all right, then you can put the glasses back together. What happens now? No, I'm just drunk and surly. That's no trick at all. Apparently, the bouncers grabbed him and started escorting him towards the door, saying he was too intoxicated to stay at the place. However, he pulled a deck of cards out of his pocket and started to perform tricks for them, and they were so impressed they let him stay.
Really?
Would I lie to you, Lisa?
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, I would, but I'm not in this particular case.
Okay.
Wow.
So next time you're getting tossed out of the bar, Kevin, again, Kevin.
Yeah. Pull out some cards.
Pull out some cards and say, pick a card.
All right.
So make sure to learn one trick that's easy enough you can do when you're drunk, and you may be able to talk your way out of some sort of intoxication charge.
I'm not sure there's a trick that easy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Edward Furlong, John Connor from the Terminator 2 movie. He's 30 years old today.
Crazy. Drugs. Crazy.
Mary Louise Parker.
Ooh, oh!
From Weeds. He's 43 years old today. Lance Ito. Remember the judge from the O.J. Simpson trial?
Yes.
Yeah, he blew.
Where's Lance today? He's 57.
Did he retire?
I believe he
did. Or is he still working?
I believe he retired. Wes Craven, a legendary horror movie director. Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream. These are all his projects. Hills Have Eyes, 68 years old today. Peter O'Toole, legendary British actor, is 75 years old today. He'll be appearing in The Tudors next season. You can see him as the Pope. And our buddy Kevin Smith, actor-director Kevin Smith, is 37 years old today.
The Warlock.
The Warlock. Yeah, that's how he's best known, as the Warlock
from
Die Hard.
That's correct.
Man directed Clerks, Clerks 2, Mallrats.
The Warlock.
Chasing Amy. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
The Warlock.
The Warlock, Kevin says. Well, now you know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And I want to congratulate you, Kevin. You did a fantastic job of punking me last night. I want to thank you for that.
Punking you?
You know, usually I can see a joke coming. Usually I can tell when I'm walking into a trap. But you said, oh, John from Cincinnati. Check it out, dude. Seriously.
easy to pick up on. You're gonna love it, man. You know, it doesn't matter that you missed the first six episodes. Go ahead and watch last night. It'll be crystal clear. There'll be no questions.
And
so
it
that's
made perfect
what I did.
Sense, right?
I tuned in, and what the F is going on with John of Cincinnati? What's that deal?
Austin Nichols, good morning.
Oh, whoops, that's the wrong button.
Yeah.
Well, we're fine. Congratulations on your hit show on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock on HBO. How's it been feeling for you, Austin?
It's fantastic. I get a lot of similar reactions. Everybody on the street yells at me and is pointing at me. What are you? What's
yeah.
going on?
I pretty much want to punch you in the face.
Good. That's the desired reaction. That's what I'm going for.
So we watched The Sopranos, and then, you know, it ended. And while The Sopranos were ending, they kept teasing this show, John from Cincinnati, yeah. John from Cincinnati. So I taped it and watched it, and it didn't make any sense, episode one. So then I watched sure. episode two, and that didn't make any sense. But at some point, you do get caught, and you until you know, you have to keep up with it.
You're in.
And it's a story about three generations of surfers. There's the grandfather, who is played by
Bruce Greenwood.
Thank you.
Yes, terrific actor.
Then his son, who's played by Brian Van Holt, and then his son, Sean Grayson Fletcher. And they're all surfers, and the grandfather's all screwed up in the head, and the son's all screwed up in the head.
Yep.
And the grandmother is out of her mind crazy. And then right. into all this comes John from Cincinnati. A guy shows up out of nowhere, and everything starts going weird. Sean gets killed in a surfing accident and comes back to life when a bird kisses him.
That's I mean, right. much like my real life, every day of my life.
It's so bizarre. And your character, John from Cincinnati, the whole series pretty much just parrots what people say. If they say, I'm going to kill you, then he says, yes, I'm going to kill you.
All right.
Or if they ask John, are you being a smartass? He'll say, I'm being a smartass.
Are you
all right,
being a smartass?
Let's ask Austin, because he may even know more about this than you do, Kevin. What is going on with, what do you know about your character that you can share with us?
Well, I'm actually really just a smartass, and I'll just I'll run around in loops and not tell you anything.
Yeah.
John is, you know, I can't tell you. It's a big, big secret. Everybody has to watch. You know, there's two more episodes, and it's really...
I'm not asking for any spoilers. I just mean, what can you tell us that you know of your character?
Basically, everybody really knows deep down who John is. I think it's who we all go to in our darkest hour.
So John's God.
Perhaps.
That's okay. What a lot of people think, because you know, he people levitate when they're, you know, since he's come there.
Right.
People come back from the dead since he's been there. He got stabbed, he got healed. I mean, it all kind of points to him being God.
John, I think really the most important thing is he's really a teacher, and he teaches everybody that we don't need to live in fear, to put it really simply.
Yeah.
But just like people who have so much trouble getting answers from the Bible, really more questions that they have to then solve on their own or set up. It's kind of the same way when people interact with your characters. You really kind of force them to evaluate what's going on rather than just make it easy and just hand out an answer.
Right. That's actually a really good way to talk about John, is that if you're talking about faith and people's faith, and sometimes that's a hard thing to describe, like it's not very concrete. It's like, where do you point and say, well, where is this spirit? You know, it's like you can't see it, it's not tangible, but you know you have the faith that it's there, and that's...
Right. And all of that is well and good, Austin, until a guy like me tunes in last night and sees a guy driving around talking to a parrot, and then there's another guy walking around talking to a big stuffed animal.
Yeah.
It's like everybody in that town is honked up.
It's very crazy, but I think they're the most engaging characters I've ever seen on a show, and it is really... It hooks me, and I think it hooks a lot of people, and I would say one thing to everybody who's watching is don't get too carried away by the language. Just kind of stay with the action and stay with the characters, and it really does make sense if you kind of just don't get caught up in the language.
And all the crap John says?
Yeah, exactly. And Luke Perry's in it. He's fantastic. Ed yeah. O'Neill is maybe my favorite character ever. He's an ex-cop, and he's
unbelievable.
He's crazy.
So great.
He lost his wife, and he talks to his parrot. His parrot mm-hmm. tells him what to do, and
right.
He's got a staircase that goes nowhere. It's just bizarre beyond words. I'm going to play a clip now, Austin,
okay. And
I want you to explain to me what it means.
I will do that.
Here we go.
If my words are yours, can you hear my father? Can Bill know my father, keeping his eye on me? Can I bone Kai and Butchie know my father instead? My father's shy doing his business. Kai helps my father dump out. Bill takes a shot. Shawnee is much improved. Joe is a doubting Thomas. Joe will save not Aleman. Joe will bring his buddies home. Cup of Joe and Winchell's variety dozen. Mitch catches a good wave. Mitch wipes out. Mitch wipes out Sissy. Sissy shows Butchie how to do that. Sissy wipes Butchie out. Butchie hurts Barry's head.
My father runs the Mega Millions.
Fur is big. Mud is big. The stick is big. The word is big. Fire is huge. The wheel is huge. The line and circle are big. On the wall, the line and circle are huge. On the wall, the man at the wall makes a man from the circle and line.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, I got to preface that by saying that there was a 3-page monologue that day that was handed to me 30 minutes before we rehearsed.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
And that's the kind of the way we work over at John from Cincinnati. But basically, John, you know, he's everything he's learned since he's arrived, you know, in Imperial Beach from Cincinnati or wherever he's from, is he's learned through the language that everybody's spoken in front of him. So he's basically trying to teach everyone. He's trying to teach everyone he encounters that basically everything is okay. You just kind of have to, you know, each new day the sun rises, and it's, you know, as David, my boss says, it's a miracle. And you wake up and you just keep going. You put one foot in front of the other and you go, go, go.
So you're telling me that that entire monologue means everything is okay. You can boil it down to 3 words.
You know what? To tell the truth, I have no idea.
All right, good. That's what I thought.
So HBO is awesome because they'll put a show on like this and stick with it and let people ride it out and see if they end up liking it. I mean, if this show were on a, you know, regular network, it would have been gone after like 2 episodes, right?
I don't think it ever would have made it to air.
Yeah.
That's a better point. You're absolutely right. That's why we love HBO, and that's why we give them the benefit of the doubt when new shows come along that are confounding like this, because they got such a track record of putting great stuff on the air.
Right, and they love it, and they believe in it, and they're going to keep putting it on, and I think people are going to jump on board. I mean, it's really, really beautiful.
Now, it looks like Sean, the grandson, is going to disappear somewhere or something. That's what
Sean will soon be gone.
That's what he keeps saying. Sean will soon be gone.
Yeah.
And everybody's starting to get mad at you. And then this episode, this next Sunday, is the second to last. And then the series finale is, I mean, the series, the season
the
finale.
The season finale, yeah.
Is 2 weeks.
In two weeks, as you know, Sean will soon be gone. I'll go ahead and tell you that John comes back. And, take that however you want. But John comes back, and it's the best hour of TV I've ever seen. There's this opening montage that is going to blow minds, and it's I've never seen anything like it.
And that's a week from Sunday?
That's a week from Sunday.
Okay.
Cool. All right, last question for me, Austin, and that is, do you already know that there's a new season next year of John from Cincinnati?
I do not.
Okay.
I know nothing. I'm locked in a bedroom, and I don't have communication with anyone.
That's sad. What is it, slave labor? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's penance.
Well, you got me. I'm hooked, and I have to know. And if I don't know a week from Sunday, somebody's going to get hurt.
All right. Well, I'll take responsibility, so just call me. Blame it on me.
I'm going to put you on hold. I want to take your phone number.
Okay, you got it.
Here's what we're saying, people. There's no reason to watch The Singing Bee when you've got John from Cincinnati over there at HBO. That's what we're saying to you, and that has been actor Austin Nichols on The Kevin Amin Show. Austin, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
Bye now.
Guys, why wasn't O.J. Simpson driving over Interstate 35 Bridge in Minneapolis last night? That's my question to you. Where the hell was O.J.?
Doing an interview online. Did you see
that? I didn't. I just saw clips of it. Why will this guy not stop? Why will he not just go away?
Well, what happened was he wrote that book, If I Did It, and then everybody said they were going to boycott it. So Fox, who was originally going to air an interview with him, just pulled it and said, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. Right.
So a bankruptcy judge in Miami awarded the book rights to Goldman's family, to Ron Goldman's family.
Mm-hmm.
And they now are talking about publishing it and getting the money for it. And OJ is incensed that he couldn't, because it was blood money if he did it. But Ron Goldman does it. It's okay. I mean, his family.
That's a good strategy, by the way, is to come down on the family of the people you killed.
Yeah. So he went on a business news website, Market News First, and did an interview with a woman on there. And I got to tell you, for all of his bloviating about how much people love him and nobody ever says anything rude to him, there were some good calls on that show that really put it into perspective. We thought we would talk to the Juice this morning. Good morning, OJ.
How you doing, Kevin Devine?
We're good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm the Juice.
You are the Juice.
You are the Juice. I'm the Juice.
Yes, you are.
Right. Why did you feel the need to look for somebody to interview you at this time? Couldn't you just once have just shut up and stayed out of the camera's eye?
Well, look, listen, everybody's talking about me. And, you know, sometimes you just want to have a voice. Sometimes you want to be able to express yourself and how you feel about a situation and do it directly.
So you went online with this this woman who interviewed you and didn't ask any questions, really. She just kind of let you talk.
You know, she asked some questions. How you doing?
Right. So OJ would have you believe that everybody is in love with him and treats him fine. But some callers got through on the show.
Yeah.
This first one gets cut off.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not good, Brett.
Hey, OJ, I had a question for you. You know, with everything that Michael Vick has been going through and being indicted, I was just wondering if you wanted to meet me on the Jersey Shore to do live.
Yep, there we go. You know, you're going to get jokers, but that's the great thing. It's
well,
it's wide
that's, no, I don't mind. I mean, yeah. You know, people can say what if it's negative or what, as long as they're serious about the question they're asking, it's easier to tell a joke, but it don't bother me.
All right. Didn't bother you at all, OJ.
No, it don't bother me. I like jokes.
Okay. Here's another caller, Alex, who got through and asked a very pertinent question.
All right. Alex is listening to us in Ohio. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad.
Remember when you played for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kill Bill Walsh?
That's a great question.
Did you kill Bill Walsh?
Yes.
You what? Did?
What? Yes, I did.
What? Oh, they said it was leukemia. It was you. Wow.
Leukemia, juice-chemia, whatever. I never liked that old white man.
And finally, my personal hero, a guy named Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Got through and asked OJ the question that we've all wanted to.
Guys, let's go to Kevin, I believe, in New Jersey. Kevin, what's your question for OJ?
My kid Chris was wondering, do you think it was a bigger feat to break 2,000 yards in one season or slice two necks in one night?
I'm having a little trouble, Kevin, hearing you.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
I heard it clearly.
OJ, let's just ask you now. Bigger accomplishment to rush for 2,000 yards or cut two people's heads off in one night?
I'm sorry, Kevin. I have a little hard time hearing you. What was that?
I said it pretty clearly. Rush for 2,000 yards or cut two people's heads off in one night. Which is the bigger accomplishment?
I'm sorry, Kevin. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
That's how it works, huh?
Yeah, okay. I got
By
it.
The way, I guess what, OJ, two more appearances on this same website? There's more to this interview still to come?
Absolutely. You can't cover it all in one night. You know, there's a lot of stuff to be talked about. And by the way, it was harder to run 2,000 miles.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Bobby Brown. I miss him. I miss Bobby
He's
Brown.
He's the best.
Apparently, people are after Bobby Brown.
After him?
Yeah.
For child supporters?
No one, of course, who buys records or goes to see concerts or hires talent, but some very important people want him dead.
Want him dead?
According to Bobby, Osama bin Laden and George Bush want him dead.
What?
Recently, while on tour in Melbourne, Australia, believe it or not, he still tours.
He's still touring?
I figure if bin Laden wants me and everybody was looking for him, then it probably won't happen.
Why does this go back to the story where bin Laden was in love with Whitney
yes.
Houston?
According to Whitney Houston, Osama bin Laden's longtime mistress, he was obsessed with Whitney and wanted to kill Bobby to get him out of the way. And Bobby thinks he's still a danger. Come on, if anyone else was threatened by Al-Qaeda, they'd take it seriously, he said.
Really?
Yeah.
Bobby. So Osama bin Laden's going to come out of a cave so that he can kill Bobby Brown.
Hey, look.
Whitney Houston's ex-husband.
People have done crazier things for love. Bobby also says he thinks President Bush wants him offed as well.
What?
Though he didn't expand on that reason as to why.
What?
Here's good
news. It's common knowledge the guy's retarded.
Here's good news. Looks like Jessica Simpson's bomb of a movie, Blonde Ambition, Maybe too much of a stinker even for the silver screen. It may be going straight to DVD domestically.
Yes!
Ouch. Wow, good.
That's the best.
An insider told Us Weekly magazine, it's going straight to DVD domestically. It will only come out in theaters internationally. Why do we want to do that? Our reputation with the world is already bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really want to inflict this bomb on them? I don't think so. I think it would do wonders for our Republic opinion worldwide if we would just bury this piece of crap. What's the problem with the movie? The movie's absolutely horrible, says a source. It's just a bomb, mainly because of Jessica's acting.
Yeah.
A representative for the movie studio told us when they were contacted, the final distribution plans have not yet been confirmed. So it would be premature to comment at this time.
Uh-huh.
Poor Luke Wilson.
That means yes, 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 by the way.
Here's a great story about Lindsay Lohan from What Would Tyler Durden Do?, one of our favorite websites around here. Have you ever noticed, Lindsay Lohan doesn't have many actress girlfriends. Doesn't seem to be hanging out with a lot of actors. Sometimes Paris Hilton, sometimes Britney Spears, but not many actresses. Here may be the reason why. According to a former friend of Lindsay, Lindsay often ranted and raved about her talent.
About Lindsay's own?
Yes, claiming, I'm the greatest actress in the world. No one's even close to me right now. Then she would proceed to slam the other slew of young actresses currently out there. Scarlett Johansson, she said, is ugly, fat, and has no talent.
How dare she?
That's fighting words for Kevin.
That's bullshit.
Sienna Miller, she said, is a no-talent crackhead.
Okay. Really?
Keira Knightley?
Mm-hmm.
Flat, shallow, cardboard cutout of an actress. Jessica Biel, phony, scheming phony of an actress.
How dare she?
Oh, my God.
Jessica Simpson can't sing and is dumb as crap.
Well, yeah.
That's right. I agree with
Even
that.
Lindsay has to get it right once in a while.
He's right on that one.
Congratulations, Lindsay. And congratulations to Chris O'Donnell. He and his wife, Carolyn, are going to have a baby again. They've got four children. All right.
Oh,
enough.
My God.
Enough. Chris O'Donnell has a new miniseries coming on TV this weekend on TNT. About the history of the CIA called The Company.
Oh, that looks good.
It does look good. I'm just excited because Michael Keaton is in it, and I haven't seen Michael Keaton act in way too long.
Yeah.
How old is Chris O'Donnell to now be on his fifth child?
I think he's 40?
I was going to say late 30s, early
40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's that's still too many
Catholic,
kids.
Right?
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
a lot of children.
Big Irish Catholic family he's going to have. And also pregnant is former ER actress Juliana Margulies. Oh. TV Guide magazine says it's going to be her first child. She's engaged to her boyfriend Keith Lieberthal. And so I guess they're going to get married after the baby's
born. Boobs.
Yeah, Juliana's all right. Speaking of somebody who used to be all right, but is now all wrong. Sharon Stone.
Oh.
Yeah. According to friends, she wants to get serious with Craig Ferguson, who she's currently dating from the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Star Magazine reports that the couple dated briefly in 2005, but split up when Sharon had to leave the country for work. But now they're back together again, and she's really into Craig, says the friend, because he's smart, sexy, and not high maintenance at all.
Unlike her?
Yeah, she's none of those things. Neither smart nor sexy, and she's way high maintenance. Yeah. So they say opposites attract.
He is on a hit TV show and has the accent. It seems like he could do better than Sharon Stone.
I don't know if it's a hit TV show. 12:30 a night, I don't know.
What well, I'm
exactly.
saying.
So her record
successful.
Is not good.
Sit down, my crazy little monkeys.
This was her opening line when she met him.
How big are your balls? Your nuts. How big are they?
That's how she starts every conversation.
She brought out a meat scale.
That's correct.
Oh.
To weigh them. Today's celebrity birthday is Wes Craven. You know him as the director of Nightmare on Elm Street and other horror films. He's 68 years old today. Mary Louise Parker from Weeds is 43. Edward Furlong, who played John Connor in Terminator 2, he is 30 years old today. And Kevin Smith, our pal Kevin, director, actor Kevin Smith, is 37 years old today. And interesting piece of news that was released at the Comic-Con this past weekend. Kevin Smith will be directing one of the episodes of Heroes Origins, the new spinoff series from Heroes.
When does that start?
I believe in the fall.
Oh, okay.
They're going to run it concurrently with the Heroes, the new Heroes episodes as well. So I think one night will be Heroes, and then another night during the lineup on NBC will be Heroes Origins, which introduces us to new potential heroes to join the cast of the TV show. So it's going to be 6 episodes long. Each will have a different director, and Kevin's going to be directing one of those episodes.
That's great.
So
fantastic.
I bet he'll do a good job with that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Bisbee.
Plus X Games 13, that starts today. Kevin, what time do you have to be down there? Are you riding the motorcycle today, or what are you doing?
Yes, I'm riding the motorcycle on the big ramp.
Yep.
Big air.
Okay, good.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Give away some tickets and also talk to all-time legend Jeremy McGrath. That's coming up. By the way, speaking of guests on the Kevin and Bean Show, how about Lisa's boyfriend Matt Damon tomorrow morning? How about Matt Damon from the Bourne Ultimatum tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock?
It's the best.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins, after hearing that Bean wanted to run for president, I thought, no way could beanforpresident.com not be taken by the man who owns younghotandasian.com and so many other useless, I mean, fine URLs.
Mm-hmm. How dare you.
But there it was, glistening on the GoDaddy page, just begging to be plucked. Todd?
Yeah.
Todd has made a web page, Bean for President.
And yay!
And the picture that he put up of Bean is Bean at Halloween dressed up in a full-length Count Chocula outfit. And the words are, he's an annoying, asexual, squishy, slothful foreigner with a pink house and no social skills. Perfect. And then there's one clip of audio on the site, and it's Bean saying,
oh my God, I love men.
Oh.
Oh, come on, Todd. How are you going to come at me like that?
It's all about doing what's right for America, Bean.
Sometimes, okay. Something. Maybe you don't want to run, but maybe America needs you.
Exactly.
No. Hey, can you put him on hold for 1 second and then go right back to him, because we're having some phone trouble here today. I think Todd sent this email and set up this site, Todd, because of a conversation you heard us briefly having on the show the other day, right?
That is very true.
Oh, my God, I love men.
And I told you that clip.
And I said at that time that I can't run for president because I wasn't born in the United States.
Yeah, but keep in mind that the current administration doesn't seem to care about the Constitution, so why should you?
See, that's the point.
That should be what I run on. That should be my platform.
Beanforpresident.com.
Oh, my God, I love men.
Dressed as Count Chocula. This is good work, my friend. Good work.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm trying. This is a guy who knows foreign affairs so well, you know, like, take like the capital of Georgia, for instance.
Sure, yeah, he's all over that. Yeah,
how dare you? How dare you? That's my darkest moment.
He's in a colored house already. So, Pink House, White House.
Well, what's the difference?
It's the same thing.
Todd is working it, man.
Yeah, that's good work for you.
Oh my God, I love men.
Was that on the download rodeo page?
No, that's just like something I heard a long time ago, and I just decided I had to own it, so I made it myself.
Wow, that is good work right there.
Oh my God, I love men. Well, Todd, I don't know whether to be grateful to you, to be flattered, to be insulted, to be contacting an attorney. I don't know what I should be doing right now, but it is fast work. I mean, you've proven to me that somebody can buy a domain name and then actually get a website up on the internet for others to see, and I didn't think that was really possible.
I figure with all of your websites, we can cross market because you have so many great ones, and they're all up, and with all the people who go to them.
Yeah, they don't. He doesn't have any of them. Beanforpresident.com. Up and ready for action. Why let a little thing like the Constitution get in the way? Nice work, Todd.
Yes. I'm impressed.
Oh, my God, I love men.
Look. I'm just saying that I'm only so strong. You know what I mean? It's like if you dangle food in front of a starving child,
right?
You can't really blame the kid for whatever happens.
It's the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, by the way, 106.7 KRQ. Killers, Blink-182, and world premiere brand-new music from Foo Fighters. We played it earlier for you today. We'll play it again just after 8 o'clock. I don't know the story. All I know is that everyone that I have heard talking to you about the story has recoiled in fear to get away from it as fast as they can, and you keep trying to talk about it, and everybody else is saying, no, we can't talk about it.
Well,
you're not a starving child, by the way. You have plenty of other stuff.
But I'm saying I have weaknesses. And you can't trust a person like me with a story like this and expect me not to tell it. It's too much to ask of one human being.
But if we tell you it's wrong and inappropriate and you still do it, there's something wrong with you.
Ralph is telling you it's wrong.
Yeah. I'm saying
Bean believes that it's wrong.
I don't even know what the story is, but I know that assistant producer Alex Superhorse said that she is going to hell for even laughing at the story. So I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be subjected to that.
I don't think you should do
I'm
it.
Only so strong, people.
Oh, Kevin. You disappoint me, Kevin.
There's this dude.
No, don't tell the story. Don't do it.
There's this dude.
There's this dude. And he's in the lobby of K-Rock.
King of Mexico just text messaged me, I don't feel good about this break.
Look,
this is the king, by the way.
I'm just saying, how do you expect a guy like me to act? I can't. I'm only so responsible. And then you just, I can't help it.
Okay, but what Lisa's pointing out is the fact that everybody on the show who knows about the story says, Kevin, you know what? There's some things that you can't put on the air, some things that you have to kind of leave at the door.
Right.
What about that?
Literally
leave at the door, yeah.
Hey.
So this dude's in the lobby. And
of K-Rock?
Yes.
Of our building?
Yes.
Okay.
Here at K-Rock. And he says the words that you don't want to hear from anyone. And the words are, oh, no, my butt. Now.
Oh, and now let's just leave it at that.
Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, my butt.
So that's what he says. And
what happened to his butt? I don't want to know.
Especially after that intro.
Bad things.
I have been sent from the office to stop you.
Oh, come on. I can't.
Oh, no, my butt, the end. All right,
that
we're
was
done.
Nice.
Hey, commercials.
Everybody
awesome.
Just kind of guess.
Let's move on. Kevin, here's the thing. You get to leave after the show, and the rest of us have to stay.
Yeah.
And then maybe see these people later or later in
and
the week.
And you have a problem with that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
help me, Mike.
In his defense,
what?
Pretty positive they're not listening.
Yes, but other and people
even,
at the
even if they
are.
Were, there wouldn't be retention of the information.
Right. So
what is going on? Which people are you talking about?
No. Well, we are not going to say which people we're talking about.
They're lovely people.
Yes, they are.
Who do a service here at the station.
Yes, they do.
They work at K-Rock?
Yes.
That's all you need to say.
Yep. Yes.
That's it.
All right. Someone who works at K-Rock that Alex will have to see later on.
Yes.
That had something happen to his butt.
Think of the worst thing that can happen to your butt.
Well, you get man rape is the worst thing that happened.
No, not man rape. It's not that bad. See? So good. Not that bad.
Oh, it's worse than man rape. Or no, it's
so
not
there's
as bad
a positive?
As
yeah, so it's positive. Compared to that, it's a positive. Yes, Mike.
Bean, what's something that a man could do himself that would be really bad and embarrassing that goes on in the butt area?
Oh.
In public.
Right, so that happened.
Oh.
Bean, where's that drop? Sorry, we're out of time.
And he was
no kidding.
And he was sitting in the chair in the lobby, and he said,
what about the butt? Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, my butt.
And then
he's in the lobby of the station. He makes an involuntary donation.
And we're done.
Yes.
See, Ralph said it yesterday. There's office funny to us because we're delirious because we're here too long.
But you can't expect.
And then
you
there's on-air funny.
You can't dangle that in front of me and say don't talk about
there's
it.
There's your outside voice and your inside
it ain't
voice.
It's natural. No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Oh, wait. No, that's not it.
Oh, stop.
So, anyway, and then they say, well, what can we do? And then they wrapped him in a...
And we're done. We're done. We're so done now.
Wrapped him in a trash bag.
Oh.
I'm out.
Oh.
Psycho Mike has to leave because he's offended. Because he's disgusted.
You fucking hate me for that.
Kevin.
Come on, people.
Psycho
what?
Psycho Mike is offended and
Lisa?
You're not.
Lisa. Come on.
Kevin. At least I know I'm going to hell.
Lightning,
you're
help me out.
You know I'm on this. I recorded the damn song.
Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no. Oh, no.
But you know what?
Oh, no, my butt.
I'm not going to stick around for the wrath.
Assistant producer Alex,
so,
come back.
See ya.
In the lobby of the radio
station?
Yes! All right, let me ask you this, and I can't believe I'm going to ask a question. And that is, are they still going to let him do his show Sunday night at midnight? Or is now he is he out?
I believe they're going to let him do the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's it then. I guess we're done. I'm alone. Everyone left.
Do you feel better, though, having...
It's not that. It's that I couldn't contain it. It was too much for me to contain. I had to get it off my chest because it was too much for me to hold in. So
it was on your chest?
So to speak. Yeah.
Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no, my butt. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, my butt.
And if you want to email me about this, I am bean@krock.com. All right.
Wait. Let it go, Kevin. Let it go. Don't say anything. Let it go.
I'm just saying that.
No.
He left a deposit.
You don't.
He left a deposit at the Bank of K-Rock.
Yeah, we understand what happened to the unfortunate young man in the lobby.
All right.
And by the way, you listeners who are calling and want to tell your stories about what had happened to you and your friends,
no, we're done
with the topic. We're done with the conversation. We understand that it happens, and it may be funny at the time, not funny now. Okay? Okay. Kevin and Bean, mailbag on the air right now at 7:39 Thursday morning. You can write to any of us. Our email addresses are up at krock.com. If you are too dumb to figure out that if you want to write, oh, I don't know, Lisa, it's Lisa at krock.com, or Psycho Mike, it's Psycho Mike at krock.com. If you can't figure that out and you need a list, it is available to you at krock.com. We've got a lot of, course, a lot of response to Barry Bonds and his visit with the San Francisco Giants this week to L.A. He's in pursuit of Hank Aaron's all-time home run record. Psycho Mike, you were at the game last night. Pretty weird scene, I would imagine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to hundreds, if not thousands, of Dodger games in my life. I've been a season ticket holder all my life.
Well, you're Hispanic.
Yes. It's ingrained in my DNA.
Right. Los Dodgers.
It was the weirdest vibe. It was so strange.
What are people doing when Barry comes up to the plate besides booing? Are you seeing signs? Are people throwing things? What are they doing?
Yeah. The Barry sucks chants and all that started in the middle of the introduction to the players. I mean, it was immediate. But I was talking to Lisa about it at the break. I've never seen so many flash bulbs go off than when Barry Bonds comes up to the plate. It's like the kickoff at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it happens four times a game. I mean, it was...
People hate him, but they want to have a photo of when he gets up there and maybe hits a home
run. I mean, if you want to be a piece of history, you want to have proof that you were a piece of history. I'm telling you, it was almost seizure-inducing. It's just so many flash bulbs going off at one time.
Did you do the robot? Because that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. But also, they really are cracking down on, like, anti-Barry signs and clothing.
That's just BS.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because that's what this first email is about. We got a lot of response, of course, to our discussions about how to treat Mr. Bonds as he comes to the plate and approaches the record. Here's one. Okay, I'm sitting here watching the Giants game on ESPN. The announcers start talking about the possibility of Bonds breaking the record in L.A. One of them says, I just hope the fans don't get unruly and give baseball a bad name in front of a national audience. I started screaming at the television. I think Bonds has already done that by illegally taking performance-enhancing drugs. I don't think he heard me because he kept on rambling about the L.A. fans. The effing announcers are blaming L.A. for giving baseball a bad name when it's that F-head Barry Bonds.
That's really
if the L.A.
ironic.
Fans don't step up and let America know exactly how they feel about Barry Bonds, I will lose all respect for them. Here's another one. This is from Jesus in Santa Cruz. I think that people should be in the stands with air horns. When Barry is about to bat, just set him off. I'm pretty sure if you have enough people with him, they'll create enough of a distraction it'll be impossible for him to hit. Boy, I wish I was able to go to the game. As an avid baseball fan, it really upsets me to see Barry get the record. How about noise? I mean, besides the chanting, are people doing everything they can to make it as loud as possible in there, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's deafening when he steps up to the plate. The boos, and they continue. I mean, pretty much throughout his at-bat. Then when he does fly out, pop out, ground out, whatever it is, which he has been doing. He hasn't been, you know, tearing the cover off the ball. The place goes nuts, just cheering.
Because he didn't hit a home run.
That not only did he not hit a home run, but he made himself look like a fool.
Right.
Good times.
All right. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm a longtime fan of the Kevin and Bean Show. Love what you guys have done so far, no matter how offensive. That's always the beginning to a complaint.
However,
this morning's segment with Shaolin Robot was not funny. As a daughter of immigrant Vietnamese parents, I'm offended that a daughter of a Viet Cong is here in the U.S. and is working at such a prominent radio station as K-Rock.
You're kidding me.
I don't want to think that your program is pro-communist.
You're kidding me.
Look,
no.
Even if Shaolin Robot's dad was Charlie, and we don't even know if that's the case, that's not her fault. He did what he had to do at the time. That's 40 years ago.
Moreover,
Nguyen. It thinks that we're pro-communist.
Because Shaolin Robot's dad fought for the other side.
She also said there's two different things about Shaolin Robot. One, she peeled out coming into our parking lot in her van. Just burned the back tires. And the other is, she said, if I have sex with one guy, I'll have to have sex with every guy. And this email says, good morning, guys. I just heard your piece about Shaolin Robot not being a hoe, just saying no. And I've come to the conclusion that you have to hire this girl full time. She's absolute gold. From the moment she said the gravity was pulling me down, I knew she was a keeper. Sure, other interns have also contributed to the magic that is the Kevin and Bean Show. Dumb Dumb Danielle, I think, was also just as spectacular. Shaolin has a sweet innocence about her that makes her much more desirable as a member of the team. Give the yellow man a chance, your loyal listener, Sal.
We have just barely scraped the surface of what Shaolin Robot is capable of. Yeah. She really is. She's a gold mine. There's no question. Dear Kevin and Bean, I've heard... this is great. There's a couple of emails on the topic we did last week of people who have embarrassing middle names. Okay? People who have middle names they wish nobody knew about and they don't like to use. And we found out that Dave, the King of Mexico, his middle name is Juan, which is a perfectly normal and respectable name. Right?
Right.
However, for some reason, Dave's embarrassed about it. Dear Kevin and Bean says, this guy, I've heard the same goddamned Juan joke since birth. Whenever anyone uses the word Juan, when anyone a person calls out, hey, Juan, the next person always yells two, and then the third person yells three. Every Juan of us has heard this joke a million and Juan times. See what I did there? And apparently every person thinks they're the ones that invented it. I don't blame Dave for a second for not wanting Juan to get out there. Keep hope alive, says Juan. Jason writes in, hey, you guys, I didn't get a chance to call him, but I have the best middle name of all. My middle name is Zizix.
Nice.
You guys recognize that name?
Yes.
Z-Z-Y-Z-X.
From yep, what?
On the road to Vegas.
It's the last California exit on your road to Las Vegas. My parents are old hippies. They decided it would be a good name. My dad wanted it as my first. My mom said no. They compromised, made it my middle name. The truth is, they pulled off the road at that exit to get high 29 years ago, ended up being conceived at that exit.
Good times.
Jason, middle name Zizix, everybody.
How funny.
Hey, guys, sorry if this is the millionth email that you've received about this, but I haven't heard you talk about it in the hour I get to listen to you in the morning. Apparently, the independent film channel, IFC, is going to air all of the previous episodes of R. Kelly's video, Trapped in the Closet.
True dat.
Plus 10 new episodes. Please, please let me know if and when you will be recapping them. I will arrange my commute to listen during that hour. Thanks, Robin.
I believe August 21st is what we're being told, right? Is when the magic begins, right?
Yep.
And finally, for me, I'm not going to tell you what this is in reference to because I can't put that on the air after Kevin's story earlier this hour.
Not my story, dude.
For those who know, here's the email from Gina. So over the weekend, guys, I'm at a family function with my in-laws. My 65-year-old mother-in-law comes in with a brand new outfit for the occasion. She was wearing white pants. All I could think of is what you guys had to say. Ooh, thank you for that image, Gina. You don't want that.
No.
Nope. You don't ever want to see a woman in white pants. That's pretty much the rule. Well, you do if they're hot, but yes, Psycho Mike. No. Oh, I see. All right. I need to go to this line. Hey, guys, about 2 months ago, I realized that I literally live one block away from Mr. Jed the Fish.
Oh, how about that?
Since then, I have come across him at the grocery store, video store in front of his home, but the guy never makes eye contact and always seems angry. I'm not one to intrude on anyone's free time, but since I'm a huge K-Rock fan, and since Jed has been on the air for a long time, it's kind of exciting for me, and I would like to introduce myself to the social hermit. Can you give me any insight into the psyche of Jed?
He's legendary. We're lucky to be able to work with a legend like Jed the Fish, that's for sure.
Jed, good morning. Would you say hi to our friend Caesar from Pasadena?
Hello? It's 106.7 K-Rock. KROQ. Is this Caesar?
This is Caesar. How are you?
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber.
What?
Okay, but that's not what we're talking about yet. Caesar wrote in an email saying that he sees you all the time in the neighborhood, but he hasn't had the guts to come up and introduce himself. He just wanted to say hi to you.
Oh! Well, Jedem Fisham has something to ask you.
Sure.
What's the atomic weight of mercury?
You know what? I kind of forgot right now. It's kind of too early in the morning for that for me.
That's fantastic. You know, I was huffing ether with the guy who invented the plastic tips for shoelaces, and Fred Durst let me bum a cigarette circa 99.
What does that have to do with
anything? Dude, that's why I'm scared to go up to the guy.
I don't blame you, Caesar. You know what? I think you made the right decision. Stayed away.
Yeah, man. It's just like I see him all the time. I see him at the supermarket. He looks pissed, and he looks like he wants to slap people around.
Why do you look pissed? Yeah. Why do you look pissed and like you're going to slap people, Jed?
Why?
Maybe if you were to dress like Margaret Thatcher and push hot dogs through donuts as you came to the store, I'd like you better.
I could arrange that, maybe.
The guy dropped a bomb in the lobby, okay? That's it. That's all. That's the story.
Kevin,
so stop.
We know.
I'm saying
we've
stop
moved on.
Emailing.
We've moved on. We're not talking about that anymore.
I'm saying stop emailing.
It's Kevin Meach on K-Rock at 7:54. Brand new Foo Fighters world premiered first thing this morning on the Kevin Meach Show on K-Rock. We will play The Pretender for you coming up right after the news. And Petros, not yet. You're standing by, but you're not coming until after the news, okay?
I'm ready to rock the microphone.
Right now, Ralph Garman is here. Ralph, a guy who is dignified enough to have stayed away from Kevin's story last hour. Nice job, Ralph. I wish I could have taken myself out of the room, too.
Sometimes everybody left. You have only yourself to blame if you get caught in the crap storm. You know what I'm saying? No pun intended.
Literally.
So you need to, know when to hold them and know when to fold them, as Kenny used to say. Britney Spears is celebrating her divorce from Kevin Federline by taking him and the kids to Disney World.
What?
Britney Spears, you just got divorced from the biggest douchebag in the world. What are you going to do? I'm going to Disney World.
So is that customary that you start dating as soon as your divorce is final?
She thinks this is the perfect place for her and Kevin to show the children they're still a family. Here's an idea. Start filling their bottles with milk or formula instead of soda if you want to start improving your relationship with your children. Others believe Britney's just trying to show off before a custody hearing with the boys, which is August 14th. Show what a good mom she is by taking them on vacation. So either way, while they're in Florida, I suggest they just buy a double wide and stay there.
No
kidding. Because it is the white trash capital of the world. Yeah. You ever notice how sometimes in Hollywood, celebrities only have best friends who are other celebrities?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They never
yes.
seem to have, like, normal friends. Even though they work in the rarefied atmosphere of Hollywood, you think, you know, they'd have, a dentist as a friend or, you know, a pal from high school. But they tend to flock together, these
You're
birds.
You're totally right. You see Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes out, and it's always with, you know, David Beckham or Will Smith or something.
Yeah.
You never see, hey, this is just the guy that my kid goes to school with and we're hanging out.
Right.
It's never that.
This is Bill Clark who lives next to me. No. Well, In Touch magazine has a list of the top 10 best friends in Hollywood. These are the best friend combos, the top 10 best friend combos in Hollywood. BFFs.
That's a weak list. What list is that?
Dude, In Touch has magazine space to fill.
All right.
Penelope Cruz and Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
That's one of your best friend combos right there. They're only 10th on the list. Number 9, T.R. Knight and Katherine Heigl.
Oh, yeah.
From Grey's Anatomy.
Very close.
Very
yeah.
tight. Hello, Katherine Heigl. Nicole Simpson and Naomi Watts. Well, they've been pals forever, even before they were famous, mm-hmm. so we can give them a pass on this one. Jessica Simpson and Ken Paves.
Who's that?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
But he must be somebody, or else he wouldn't be in Touch magazine. Jennifer Lopez and Leah Remini. One of the oddest best friend combos
in Hollywood.
Yeah, no
kidding. Okay. Lee is the Scientologist?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox. Well, of course, they're friends.
Yeah.
That's why they're friends.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Number 4, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Sure.
Yeah.
Damon last night on Letterman. So funny. So
Can't
funny.
Wait for that movie.
He's the real deal.
He sure is.
We have him tomorrow morning.
I know we do, and we have to ask him to do his Matthew McConaughey impression.
Oh, fantastic. No kidding.
Does a killer McConaughey. Does it every time he's on Letterman. Makes me laugh every time. Eva Longoria and Mario Lopez.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know about that
Best
one.
Buddies. They used to date, and now they're pals. I'm sure that makes Tony Parker thrilled. Oprah and Gayle King, of course.
Well, sure. They're more than friends, let's be honest. Allegedly.
But the number one best friend combo in all of Hollywood? Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore. Inseparable, the two of them.
All right.
Ever since Charlie's Angels, so. Now you know who's hanging out with whom.
Hmm.
That Born Supremacy? Born
Ultimatum?
Born Ultimatum,
yeah.
Because I do that comedy movie review bit every Friday where we talk about the movies that I never go to see.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of movie industries executives are fooled by the fact that I do reviews.
Right.
And they think I'm an actual film reviewer. So they'll send me all kinds of screening passes stuff to go see movies before they come out, which is really cool sometimes if you want to go see the movie, which is rare.
Right.
So I usually don't go.
Right.
But this one, I was like, oh, I cannot wait for the press screening for Bourne Ultimatum. This is going to be so awesome, so great. Not one. Not a
really?
not an invite. Not a card. I'm assuming they had them, but Universal Pictures opted not to put me on the list.
Well, they're smart
for the movie that I want to see.
But they're smart.
I can't stop getting invitations to go see Hot Rod,
right, of course.
But I can't go see Bourne Ultimatum because I'm not on the Universal list for that movie.
Both of the other two movies in this series were great.
Great.
They sure were.
Great.
Love.
It's one of those action movies that thrills you without going overboard. It's an amazingly exciting but realistic action film, which are very rare, hard to come by.
Yeah.
Usually it's Bruce Willis dancing on the wing of an F-14.
Which is also good, by the way.
Which is also good, but you're watching a cartoon, basically. But these have a real sort of realistic quality to them. That are all, it's always fascinating. And Matt Damon just pulls it off great.
So I love him.
And
talk about a guy who's the least likely action hero, Matt Damon, with the way his career started. Yet he is such a good actor in everything that he does, by the way, that he's as realistic in this as any other role he takes.
I'm guessing Universal knew that I really wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, screw that. We're going to get the $10 out of this guy.
Yeah, sure.
No, we're not going to let him just go for free.
They made the right call.
So, I didn't get a chance to see that one, but I'm looking forward to it.
Ralph, this just in from DNN. Ken Paves, Jessica Simpson's BFF, is a gay hairstylist. Apparently, he does Jessica and Ashley and Eva Longoria and a lot of them.
Oh, Jessica's hair! Yoo-hoo! By the way, movie I did get a chance to see, and we still can't talk about it, because I think like 2 weeks from its debut, but the Superbad.
Oh, yeah.
Got a chance to see that a couple weeks ago. Man, is that funny.
Fantastic.
Ooh, is that funny. We'll talk more about that as we get closer. R. Kelly, speaking of another thing I'm looking forward to, on August 21st, he is going to be releasing the new chapters of Trapped in the Closet.
Yes.
And then a couple weeks after that, he's got another important date. Turns out that 5 years after the original accusations that he had videotaped himself having sex with an underage girl, now a Chicago judge is ready to move forward with the trial.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Judge says jury selection is scheduled to begin in the case September 17th, and then the trial will start shortly thereafter, or so he says.
What's the reason for 5 years of delay?
Good attorney?
I guess. They kept, they're burying it in paperwork, I assume.
I mean, there's video of it, for God's sakes. I mean,
went to my lawyers, had me sign some papers. Turned out the case wasn't going to happen for another 5 years. Forgot my Beretta.
I know, as a citizen, you have a constitutional right to a speedy trial, but it does seem at some point that the people have a right to a speedy trial as well.
Right, because we all feel like, had that been me, I'd be in jail for 4.5 years already.
Yeah, you'd be out by now, though.
Yeah. You tell him, Norma Ray. And charges against Dwayne the Bounty Hunter Chapman.
What?
And two of his members have been dropped by the country of Mexico. Remember when Mexico had jailed them for what they say was an illegal kidnapping of convicted serial rapist Andrew Luster?
Right.
They picked him up in Puerto Vallarta and brought him back to the U.S. of A. And the Mexican government charged Dwayne and his crew with kidnapping. Well, those charges have finally been dropped. And TMZ.com has the whole story if you're
fantastic.
If you want all the details, but it's good.
I was happy to hear that. That was an absurd case. The guy was on like the FBI Most 10 Most Wanted list or something, wasn't he?
Yes, Most 10 Most Wanted.
Yeah, that one.
Whatever they call it.
But from the Most FBI.
But I mean, what do you got to do to a brother? He's down there catching a serial rapist, and then he gets charged for the crime. That was crazy.
I agree, Norman.
They just f***ed with the wrong Mexican.
Exactly.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Peter O'Toole, legendary British actor. If you've never seen Lawrence of Arabia, set aside a week and sit down and watch it. It's kind of long, but it's good. 75 years old today. Butch Patrick, who played Little Eddie Munster on The Munsters, is 54 years old today. Little Eddie.
Wow.
Yeah.
54?
Yeah. And he still carries around that little Wolfman doll. It's sad. It's tragic. Wes Craven, Nightmare on Elm Street director, as well as many other horror classics, 68 years old today. Mary Louise Parker from Weeds is 43. Edward Furlong, who played John Connor in the Terminator 2 film, is 30 years old today. Our pal Kevin Smith, actor and director, turns 37. Earlier today, I mentioned that Kevin would be directing a new episode of Heroes Origins, the new Heroes spinoff series. And we were wondering when it was going to be airing. I did a little research. Actually, a listener, Claudia, was kind enough to email this in. It starts in the spring of next year.
So around
April, we'll be able to see that. And Kevin will be directing one of those episodes. And lastly, as promised, the Hayden Panettiere countdown to legal.
Yes.
As of right now, 18 days, 14 hours, 4 minutes, and 23 seconds.
Fantastic.
Until Hayden Panettiere, our friend from Heroes, becomes legal. So just wanted to keep you up to date. Wow. We need a new
bike bell.
New underage bell there.
Yeah.
Jeez. What are you ringing that with? Your hand?
Don't ask me.
Not my hand. I didn't think so. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Petros Papadakis on the radio the other day was saying,
I'm telling you, Kevin and Bean, they're always making fun of me, making fun of my lisp. Matt Money Smith, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to kick some ass. Boot right up the ass tonight.
That's what I heard you say.
It's the best you got, really.
That's what I heard you say.
I mean, in all honesty,
you're going to kick all of our asses.
I walk around town and people come up to me. They say, I don't know you from Spike TV or FSN or your stupid radio show. They think I work here.
Right.
And they think that when you guys do that imitation of me, that it's actually me.
No, they
don't. No. I used to be really honored to come here. I used to be like, man, it's awesome. Kevin and Bean, the biggest show ever. I roll in there. Lisa Mae's looking fine. You know, everybody's really cool. Lightning and Alex, everybody's giving high fives. Ralph gave me a hug today with his tight T-shirt, his ripped for her pleasure T-shirt. And then you know what I realized? I'm just another window licker that you guys make fun of. I'm Toto with his effed up eye. I'm that guy you made Alex go out on a date with. Yeah. I'm that dude.
Yeah,
that's what I've become here.
Now, you said that you were going to kick all of our asses.
I will fight you all and destroy you. And you know I will. I don't care how many superset Psycho Mike does. I don't care how many tricep blowout sets he does. Lisa, you're cool. I'll leave you alone. Thank Alex, obviously.
Petros,
but I will destroy the rest of you. I'll punch you so hard in the neck, you'll be croaking like Mr. Toad. Yes,
I'm going to tell you the truth here, and that is that Psycho Mike, for some reason, the last few weeks, an hour doesn't go by where he doesn't manage to work into the conversation. Oh. Boy, I sure would like to box Petros. I would like to get into a rig with the P.
I will punch you so hard in the chest. I will break your... You have no idea the rage that I have inside me. And look, you're pathetic. You don't even have a mic. You have to sit there and bolo Kevin over just to talk.
I know. I'm not saying I'm a great man, but I'm a little worked up at you, sir.
Oh, what did I do?
Oh, maybe you sing a little song called Firecrotch every goddamn day on your show.
Because I like it.
Huh?
Get paid you homage.
The only time you ever mention my name is to say that I'm a loser and that I'm stuck in the gym doing supersets and tricep blowouts. And my skin tight shirts.
Do you not do tricep blowouts?
Oh, occasionally I do the tricep blowouts.
That's accurate. You can't complain about accuracy.
I will say this. The brow down video is probably the greatest thing. Glenn, do you?
Yeah.
Every day.
Are we allowed
every
to talk
day.
About the police thing? Police?
The police?
Are we allowed to talk about that thing with the brow down?
Guys that got
so lonely by the police?
Brow down! Yeah.
What happened?
I'm a little slow. I'm sorry.
Apparently, a couple of police officers were playing that in their car in Glendale. And somebody complained, and they're looking into it.
Is there a little bit of a public relations problem with the Armenian community out there?
My favorite song of all time.
They're
you know
trouble.
What? Thank the Armenians can't take a joke off them. You know what I'm saying? Those hairy bastards.
All right, let's talk about Barry Bonds for a second. Barry Bonds.
What about him? He's got a giant head. It's like a suitcase.
Come to town two nights now. He's here tonight.
Yeah, a lot of electricity in that stadium. I mean, we were out there the other day, and people are just really, really excited. They got their blood up. I mean, and everybody in that building, even if they boo him, even if they want him to die in a fire, which a lot of people do, I mean, he really is a deplorable person. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of redeeming qualities as a man.
Right.
But that being said, I want to see him hit a home run here in L.A. I mean, I want to see him hit two home runs. I want to see him break the record. I want to see Vin call it. You know what I mean?
Just because it's history?
It's history. I mean, it's a great another section of the Dodger-Giants rivalry.
But can't he do it somewhere else?
I'm sure he will. I don't think the way he's swinging right now and the way he's going is not very good. I mean, he's just – that whole team is just destroyed. I mean, first of all, they're one of the worst teams in baseball right now. The Giants is what I'm talking about.
Right.
They're terrible. Every guy on the team is just completely and totally over this. They're tired of talking about it.
I'm sure.
They're tired of the media. Bonds doesn't even talk to them. Bonds doesn't even like them. He's a terrible, combative person that just sits there. It's an awkward thing hours before the game where he just sits on the couch in the clubhouse and the media just stands there and stares at him, hoping that he might say something. The guy's head, feet, hands, wrists, everything is just 400 times bigger than it was when he was 35 years old. I mean, it is a ridiculous and completely just sad vaudeville type of farce.
What do you say to all the people that, and we get a lot of emails. I was surprised by how many emails we got. Well, people saying nothing has been proven on this guy.
Well, that's not true. I mean, he's admitted that he took something. He said it was like flaxseed oil or something like that. And now he's got jail time hanging over his head. I mean, and it doesn't matter. I mean, are we really about the court of law here in the court of public opinion?
No, that's what I say. That's for the court, not us.
The court of public opinion is the most important thing when it comes to these athletes that run the show that, you know, demand endorsement money, that demand all these different things. Barry Bonds once sent back a limo that Fox sent him because he wanted a white one. I swear to God. They sent it back. And he wanted 19 Heinekens exactly at a certain temperature. I mean, this was years ago. I mean, these are the type of people you're dealing with. And you know, he's not a good dude. And that's really what the issue here is. There's a lot of dudes juiced up. This whole area, this whole era in baseball is tainted. I mean, you got juiced up pitchers throwing to juiced up guys. How many home runs did Barry hit off juiced up dudes? But there would be a lot more, I guess, celebration or fanfare for the guy if he wasn't just for decades a complete and total inside out a-hole. I mean, all the way around.
So it's not as much about the steroids as it is an a-hole.
I think so. Yeah. I think the whole air is tainted. I mean, you look at all these different dudes. I mean, their heads, their necks, their eyes, their fingers. I mean, they all look like Arsenio Hall, their hands. I mean, you know, and I've been around steroids. I've been around people that use steroids. I know how they act. I know what they look like. Psycho Mike.
Exactly.
You know, sure. Stop taking those blood thinners, Psycho Mike.
Right. Some people estimate 7 to 10% of the Major League Baseball players are on steroids.
I mean, really? Back in the day.
That's low, isn't it?
I lived with baseball players at USC in 98, and I was playing football, and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were doing that home run thing. And it wasn't common knowledge, but all these guys were like, oh, my God, look how juiced those dudes are. I mean, they know it's just this era in baseball, and it's tainted. And to see a record go down from a guy like Hank Aaron, who played in the Negro Leagues, who dealt with all these death threats and racism and had to be this certain type of guy.
A lot of people don't know that even the record is held by a black guy. They're like, we don't want to see a black guy steal this record from a white guy. It's ridiculous what they don't know and how he got death threats all the time.
Yeah, there were people who claimed it was racist because they didn't realize Hank Aaron was black.
They didn't?
No.
I've seen him. He's pretty dark.
How crazy is that? Yeah. No, I know. I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying people don't realize it, which is ridiculous.
People don't realize a lot. You realize that, you know, the lowest common denominator, most people are, you know, morons.
Yeah.
I count myself among them. I can't even speak correctly. I mean,
I've got a question. Yeah. I got a question for you. And I think with all this talk of Bonds and the record, I think maybe this has been lost. You've lived with an awful lot of men in your life. Have you ever one time lived with a woman?
That's a great question.
Yes. Once.
Really? Besides your mom. Yeah, I'm not talking about your mom.
My ex-girlfriend.
Besides your mom.
My ex-girlfriend, and she is a shrew, horrible person who's married to another dude. And I hope they...
She made the right call.
They were on that bridge. I'm sorry.
All right, Petros Papadakis is here. We need to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Petros Papadakis in our studio right now. Hey, Pete, X Games too modern for you, or do you follow them? You like them, too?
That's a Matt Money Smith question.
Yeah, you know.
He gets all into the flying around. He shows you his shoulder. I dislocated the shoulder. Oh, yeah. You see this? This happened when I was snowboarding. No, I'm not too into that stuff. My mom, I could have been when there was like time to get skateboards, that everybody was into it back in the day, and, you know, Vision and Pal Peralta. I got that stupid Nash board that was already put together, that hot pink one for Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, the one you get at TJ Maxx. My mom bought me that one. I was like, Mom, you suck, you drunk.
Tell me why Pete Carroll.
She likes gin, my mother. Always gin.
Tell me why Pete Carroll wanted to fight you.
He didn't. I mean, I didn't feel like he wanted to fight me, but he definitely got in my dome and in public and amongst all my peers.
What was
he?
USC coach for people who don't recognize
it. It was like, you know, more like, you know, what the F are you thinking? Who the hell do you think you are, kind of thing. Pete and I have a good relationship, too, so I was taken aback.
Was it a specific topic that you were talking about?
Certainly.
Matt Leinart?
The Matt Leinart, Bryn Cameron kind of paternity, custody kind of thing going on with their lawyers right there. And I took, you know, I don't like Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
I really don't like Matt Leinart.
What's your problem with him?
Oh, he's a douche nozzle.
Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, just that?
Well, you know, he got to play football. He's the most sensitive, self-absorbed, you know, overly concerned about image football player that I have ever come across in my life.
No kidding.
You know, he's barely played. I don't think he's gone through a full season in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the guy's just tripping, you know. And he's got this girl who had his baby, who was a basketball star at USC and is going back to being a basketball star at USC. And she's a beautiful girl, nice girl, wholesome family, good people. And, you know, she didn't mean to get caught in this situation, which is what I'm trying to say. And I know that because I've, you know, been around the situation since they were kids.
Right.
And, you know, she had a little blurb in a magazine or a hometown newspaper where she's from in Ventura County about, you know, her coming back to play basketball. And the very end of the article, which was a really nice article, she said something like, yeah, you know, I get kind of tired about looking into, you know, Sports Illustrated or ESPN the magazine and seeing, you know, things celebrating Matt being a dad because, you know, he kind of comes and goes and, you know, the kid's not a PR opportunity and, you know, this is the way I want the child raised, not this Hollywood thing. And Leinart's people, I mean, the guy's got a I mean, he's a football player with a publicist, with a Hollywood publicist.
Right.
And he starts attacking her in TMZ through Harvey. And he starts attacking her in PeopleMagazine.com and saying, you know, she wants this much. And I went nuts on the air and said, this guy's, you know, this is ridiculous. This is deplorable. Obviously, Pete's going to protect his guy. So we got into it. And I found myself in the middle of something where I had absolutely no place being. Which is exactly where I want to be.
That's always the case.
But
with
I believe they're, you know, I mean, the story's quieted down. And I've talked to Pete, so that's a little better. But never treat Leinart well. If you guys ever treat Leinart well, I will come here and it'll be like a cannonball into a pool, but it'll be right into Kevin and Mike right over there.
I came from Arizona. I came from Phoenix. So
I know that. A lot of leathery folks.
It's tough because, you know, that team kind of blows.
They've been the worst franchise in sports history. And the other thing is the guy that's in love.
The Clippers are the worst franchise in sports history.
No.
In sports history.
But one more tidbit.
Right.
The guy that's in love with Bren since high school is Rudy Carpenter, the quarterback of Arizona State's football team. So you got Phoenix, you got the A-State quarterback, and then you got Leinart, you know, both, you know, with this history with this girl and a lot of anger and vitriol there. If we got a quarterback fight, NCAA fight between Leinart and Carpenter, maybe, you know, at Bank One Ballpark or something out there in Phoenix.
That's
really
a pay-per-view you got to put together,
or like
dude.
On dueling wakeboards, like a wakeboard joust. Because water sports are big out there.
A wakeboard joust. A
lot of water sports, a lot of cigarettes, a lot of Coors Light in Arizona.
Petrus, let me ask you this as we head into this weekend, which I know a lot of football fans have been looking forward to because it's
the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, in Canton, which is going to be on Sunday night. Let me ask you this. Is there any movement whatsoever that you are aware of to bring a football team, those guys that throw that pigskin, to Southern California? Is there a possibility of Los Angeles maybe getting a football team in our lifetime?
One day, possibly in our lifetime, but nobody's in a hurry to do it. The NFL has always just, you know, kind of folded their arms and said, do what you want to do. And all the people in L.A., all these business groups are just, you know, kind of like rogue idiots. And everything's hypotheticals and nobody really knows what's going on. The truth is,
why
and this is what
NFL
I always hear. Well, the NFL's doing fine without Southern California,
right.
And we are doing fine in Southern California without the NFL. And, you know, as long as that is going on, as long as, you know, everybody seems contented, the NFL is, you know, the premier sports league in the history of the world, the money they make, the power they wield, their lobby is giant. I mean, they're big. And the Southern California people are just kind of like, hey, whatever. I miss the LA Rams. I do. I miss the L.A. Rams. I sat with Jackie Slater the other night, and I was looking at him for hours, marveling at his black body, just saying, God, you know, I miss the Rams. I do. I don't miss the Raiders, you know. Yeah. I don't miss the Raiders.
I'm a little bit surprised the Chargers haven't done more to try to, I don't know, play a couple of games in L.A. or try to attract football
fans.
Piss
everybody off and say, you know how much one home game makes for that town?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They don't want to move there. They don't want to move anything. I mean, as long as people are contented, as long as the NFL is doing fine, as long as we're doing fine without the NFL, you're not going to see great action taken to get a team. No one wants to build a stadium. Nobody wants to do all that stuff.
Well, the first preseason game is Sunday night, 5 o'clock, the NFL Network.
Steelers-Saints, right?
Right. And then the season starts September 6th, and I sure can't wait for that, I'll tell you. Just having baseball alone is killing me.
What are you talking about? You don't watch the Mariners all night and freak out?
No, that's not me.
And
that's
bite
him.
Your pillow
no,
like me?
That's him, not me.
Hey, last night was a late 12-inning game for me. Let me ask you one more thing on the football note, and that is, will Michael Vick ever play football again?
I think he will, but I don't think it'll be as a quarterback. I think if he has a shot to come back and play football after this whole thing is over, and this whole thing is, I mean, it's the worst thing ever for anybody. I mean, turns out, you know, killing dogs in this country is, you know, people will judge you more if you kill a dog
That's
than
true.
If you kill a person or rape a person or something like that, because, I mean, we love dogs. I mean, I saw Lady and the Tramp.
But,
I mean,
what will he play if he doesn't play quarterback?
I think he'll return punts. He'll be a third down type of dude. I mean, I met Michael Vick. I knew him back when he was first going into the NFL, right after he finished at Vatek, and he was a nice guy. I didn't know he was into dogfighting, and, you know, he was just an incredible marvel of an athlete. But he's not a great quarterback because there's not great rhythm in his game, you know, and that's kind of part of being a quarterback is you sort of have to run the team, and no one knows where this dude's going to go, and there's no rhythm in that offense, so they don't, you know, move the ball, you know, progressively down the field. He'll break off a big play, and then, you know, nothing will happen. But that being said, I mean, the guy's a creative runner. If he does ever come back to the NFL, it'll be probably with the Raiders as a punt returner, third down back type of dude. That's just my opinion. I haven't heard anybody else say that.
Speaking of the Raiders, what about Dante Culpepper? Is he going to help him?
I think they got a lot of different guys. I mean, Culpepper's going to be able to help him if his knee's healthy, but, you know, his leg might be gone. You know, the point is a lot of guys just, you know, it's over. It's when it's over, it's over. When your leg falls off, your leg falls off, and, you know, you'll never be the same. Now, I don't know if that's the case. The Raiders have always loved dudes that can just huck it down the field, you know, like, you know,
right.
Like Smear the Queer style or whatever they used to do back in the day. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And he can do that sort of thing, but they also have Jamarcus Russell, who's the big-time rookie, number one pick, and he's a very, very promising player as well. So they're going to be okay. Their coach is just, I have no faith in Lane Kiffin, the head coach, the new head coach of the Raiders. I don't think much of him as a coach. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I heard he's cutting everybody. He's like 34, and he's trying to cut everybody his age or older than him on the team. That's
Dude.
How insecure he is, you
wow.
know, because he can't, you know, he's worried that, you know, guys, the veterans won't listen to him. And if the veterans don't listen to him, the younger dudes won't listen to him because they'll see the veterans not listen to him. I mean, that's how paranoid this dude is before he's even called one player, stepped on the sideline in the NFL. So that's what's going on with the Raiders.
Petros, it's always great to have you, and I suspect there's some off-air conversation that needs to be had so that we can settle this problem between you and Psycho Mike, because it does seem like it's a little festering going on within the family
take
here.
Take it to the ring, fellas.
Some nights, I just roll around in bed, and I think about Psycho Mike, and I'm not going to say that it's homoerotic, but I think about him and I working out together.
And his glistening black body.
Roman Greco wrestling, maybe with the gel in his hair. You know, maybe the gel in his hair sweats and kind of pours down his face and it stings my eyes. And while I'm blinded,
you know,
he starts
Petros,
to chop my neck. And
I've had a very similar dream, but that's not gel in my hair.
Oh. Mike, okay, you don't really want to wrestle with a Greek, though. You got to think about that before you decide what you're doing.
No, we're the best at it. And I'll show up with a fig leaf.
Petros, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. God bless
it.
You guys. Bye.
Let me tell you something about the Simpsons movie. Let me tell you about the movie that, as you know, made $74 million over the weekend here in the United States. More than that, even internationally, this Simpsons show is so huge, it's shown in over 200 countries around the world. It is dubbed into 15 different languages, subtitled into 27. The movie has been dubbed in 31 languages, and it's a hit in every single one of them.
In New Zealand, the city of Springfield, there's a 12-foot-tall sculpture of a pink glazed donut. Voters in a congressional election in Argentina cast ballots for a candidate named Homer Simpson from the Donuts and Beer Party. Everywhere, any country you go to, it seems like the Simpsons are huge.
Yep.
In Britain, an online poll asked them to name the most admired Americans. Homer Simpson outranked Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. So I think you can tell the Simpsons are popular around the world. And we thought, you know what, why not follow up on that a little bit here and dial up us. I don't know. You got a list of a bunch of different phone numbers in a bunch of different countries. You can just call up and see what they're saying about the Simpsons.
Let's call Germany. Okay. Let's start with Germany.
All right.
Figure out what's going on there.
And we thought the Simpsons was just ours.
Guten Tag.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from a radio station in Southern California. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Are you a Simpsons fan there in Germany? A fan of the TV show and now the film called The Simpsons?
Yeah. I like Simpsons very much.
Is this...
You lucky to have it in America.
This sounds like Homer.
It is not a German product. We right, just make war. And beer.
Well...
Beer.
Wow. This guy is quite a Simpsons fan. Okay.
Wow, all right.
All right, so big hit in Germany. All right, let's check that off.
Yeah, we like it.
All right.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Thank you for speaking with us. What are the chances we call it? That guy picks up the phone. That's kind of weird.
Let's try North Korea.
Oh, all right.
Now, see, I haven't heard specifically if the Simpsons movie was allowed to play. You know, the Dear Leader may not permit that.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's find out what they know. Hello?
Hello?
Is this Homer again?
It's Kevin and Bean, K-Rock Radio, Los Angeles, calling about the Simpsons movie. Have you seen it, sir?
Yeah, we see it here in North Korea. We love it.
This is Homer?
We don't make cartoons here. Actually, we do. We make a lot of your American cartoons. But still, it's an American invention that we love. All we do here is have dogs. Dogs.
All right, let me try. Let's try again. I want to call Brazil.
Oh.
Okay.
Find out what's going on.
That'd be cool.
I'd be nervous if I were the Simpsons dog, Santa's little helper, living in North Korea, I guess. That's not, that's not where you want to be.
This is Green Day, by the way.
From the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Did the theme of the movie?
Bueno.
Hello. Is this Brazil?
Si.
Where they speak Portuguese?
I know in Brazil they speak Portuguese, but I only know Spanish.
Well, that's unfortunate
so
for you.
That must bite me, Lisa.
Wow, you're good. So, how about those Simpsons down there in Brazil? Pretty wild, huh?
Muy bueno. We love El Simpsono.
You don't speak Spanish
here
either, apparently.
Here in Sao Paulo, we have a giant statue of Christ.
You do, yes, that's true.
I wish it was Homer.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
He's better than Christ.
I don't think so.
But I've heard. I've heard
you know what, let's try Iran. I have a number.
Jesus.
All right. We got to go, Mr. Brazil. We got one more call to make here. Iran, now, they don't export a lot of the infidel stuff over there, right?
No.
Not a lot of Western entertainment in the country of Iran,
not
I don't think.
Can help it.
Not big fans, no.
Yeah.
All right. Let's find out if The Simpsons has made its way to Iran, then.
Why is your phone ringing so long?
Sorry. It's an international call.
The phone rang quicker.
Wait, is this Iran?
Si.
I don't speak Spanish in Iran.
You got it, baby. Yes, so, we love the Simpsons in Iran.
Yeah, you do.
Sometimes
okay.
When we're sitting in the stand and it gets in our butt cracks, we say, oh, we wish we lived in America where they had the Simpsons. They're great. Everyone should go see the movie many times.
Homer.
And not be on a fatwa.
Well, of course not. Yeah,
no.
Certainly not.
No fatwas.
No fatwas.
Okay.
Fatwas.
Thank you, Homer.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Ralph, what's going on in Hollywood?
Did you know that ESPN invented the X Games?
Well, they did. It didn't exist before they said, hey, let's make a TV show.
Thanks for that info, Bean. Yeah.
Done pretty well for themselves.
Yeah. Bobby Brown.
Yes.
Is certain that Osama bin Laden is after him. You may remember the story a little while back where a lover of Osama bin Laden, Karine Stephans.
Oh, yeah, his mistress, right?
His mistress said that Osama was obsessed with Whitney Houston, was madly in love with her. And said that he would kill Bobby Brown, her then husband, in order to get to her. Well, apparently Bobby's still concerned that bin Laden's after him.
Right, sure.
Come on. If anybody else was threatened by Al-Qaeda, they'd take it seriously, Bobby said. But I figure if bin Laden wants me and everyone's looking for him, it probably won't happen.
Woo! What evidence does he have that bin Laden is after him other than a tabloid report that Osama was in love with Whitney Houston?
You don't need evidence, Bean, when you've got a head full of drugs.
Well, there is that.
Bobby also thinks that President Bush wants him killed as well, although
really?
There is no real motivation behind that, at least shared
Why
to
would
us
he say
with
that?
Bobby. Because George Bush doesn't like black people.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that is true.
Maybe he was talking to Kanye.
What kind of hotties do you think Osama bin Laden is pulling? Because I've seen that dude, and I just can't imagine he's powerful and all, but I can't imagine he's getting very hot chicks.
Dude, the Madden brothers from Good Charlotte are pulling hot chicks. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true.
It's all about fame.
Fame is everything.
It's all about fame. Jessica Simpson's movie Blonde Ambition continues to be the center of a storm of rumor about how horrible it is. Us Weekly Magazine now says that it's going to go straight to DVD. You won't even see a movie theater.
Hmm. Is that a positive?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because you won't accidentally walk into a theater going to see,
exactly.
Something
else. Superbad or something and stumble into Blonde Ambition. Apparently, an insider says that it will only be released in theaters internationally. Why we want to inflict this movie on our brethren across the globe, I have no idea. But the movie's...
I'm just a white girl who can't dance. I can only push my tush.
Oh, God.
The movie's absolutely horrible, says a source. And a source happens to be a horse. It's just a bomb.
Of course.
Mainly because of Jessica's acting. Well, surprise, surprise.
Ouch. Guys, how bad must this movie be if they released Employee of the Month that she was in, and this one they won't release?
Well, that they had Dane Cook, I guess they figured at least. And she had a smallish role in that.
Yeah.
But, she stunk up Dukes of Hazzard. with her
acting. That's hard to do.
And that was hard to do.
Willie Nelson acted her off the screen. I mean, come on.
Can I imagine how she is in this thing? I feel bad for Luke Wilson, who somehow got conned into making this movie with her.
She is sound down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But now, don't you really want to see it? I mean, if it's that bad?
If it's that bad, yeah. I'm in.
Lindsay Lohan doesn't seem to think much of Jessica Simpson's talent either. According to WhatWouldTylerDurdenDo.com, one of our favorite websites, there's a story told by one of her former friends who says that Lindsay was constantly ranting and raving about her own talent and slamming other actresses when she would get a load on.
Have we ever heard this story before? Because it seems like it's different. Like, I've never... I've never been faced with the she's an a-hole, she puts down everybody else, she's obsessed with herself.
Oh, I don't know.
With her.
I've never heard much about her personality at all. Mm-hmm. We only really hear about her partying ways. I don't know if anyone's really come forward and said what she's like personally. But regarding Jessica Simpson, she said, can't sing and is dumb as beep. Crap.
Well, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
However, some of her other competition she's even more vicious with. Scarlett Johansson is ugly, fat, and has no talent.
How dare she?
Sienna Miller is a no-talent crackhead. Keira Knightley is flat, shallow, cardboard cutout of an actress. And lastly, Jessica Biel is a phony, scheming joke of an actress.
What? You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
So there's Lindsay Stan. Wow. Maybe she does need to drink. Lighten up. Not a cocktail. Holy crap. R. Kelly's got a world of hurt ahead of him. If a judge in Chicago has anything to say about it, apparently the accusations that the R&B singer had videotaped himself having sex with an underage girl, those charges are finally going to see a courtroom.
All right!
Chicago judge says that jury selection is scheduled to begin in the case September the 17th. Just a couple of weeks after the release of the next chapters of Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, so I can't wait for that.
If R does some time, somebody may be trapped in his closet, his cellmate. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And by closet, I mean sphincter.
Sure, yeah. I think we get it.
You got it?
Yeah.
That one
all right!
Pretty sure.
Yeah. And by trapped, I mean having sex with.
We got it.
I think we understand.
Does it translate at all?
I think we understand.
Does it carry
very
over
clear.
To any,
yeah. Very
any
clear.
Extent? You getting it?
No, a little vague. We had to read between the lines somewhat, but I think we got it now.
All right. I want to mention that our pal Kevin Smith, his birthday is today. And there was some news that was sent to me earlier today by listener Claudia, who found out that Kevin Smith will be directing one of the Heroes Origin episodes that happen next year. It's going to go on in the... spring of 2008. It will be aired during the hiatus in between the first and second halves of the Heroes
cool
season.
Okay.
I like it.
And it will be showcasing brand new heroes that may or may not be joining the cast of the regular show.
May or may not.
Well, apparently they're going to do 6 episodes, each one featuring a different hero.
Right.
And then judging on the popularity of those characters, they will choose one to join the main cast.
I got you.
And Kevin Smith will be directing those episodes, so it's very exciting. Glad to hear that.
Kevin Smith, it seems to me, stole your dream life, Ralph, when you look at what he's got going on. If he wants
to do
TVs, he wants to do movie, he wants to do comic books.
Absolutely.
Everything he does is, like, cool and fun, and it looks like stuff that he enjoys.
Kevin is the king of the fanboys for a reason, because he lived the life that all the geeks lived, and then he had talent on top of it, so then he went out and made his own way on his own terms and still gets to do all the fun stuff. The guy owns 2 comic book stores, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
One in Westwood and one back in his home state of New Jersey. He makes, as Bean mentioned, he writes comic books as well. He makes TV shows and movies.
And, by the way, he even goes beyond that. If he sees a TV show he likes, and I'm thinking of the Degrassi Show or Veronica Mars, he just calls them up and says, hey, I'd like to be on the show. And they go, yeah, we'd love to have you. Great. He gets to be a guest on any TV show he wants to be on, too.
Yeah.
Why won't he let you breathe, Ralph? Why does he have to take all the jobs? Why does he have his foot on your neck?
You know what? He can. He's one of those guys I'm not the least bit jealous of. I'm completely supportive of. I love his work. So I'm happy to see him do all that stuff.
Fantastic.
Because I get a kick out of everything that he does. I watched Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Funny movie.
I hadn't seen it in a while, so I popped in the DVD the other day. And they've got the gag reel at the end of it, all the people blowing their lines and everything. And that movie's like the all-star of all the Kevin Smith movies, because they bring everybody back. The guys from Clerks, and you've got Affleck in there, and Matt Damon.
Right.
And you've got Jason Lee. I mean, everybody's in that movie. Will Ferrell. And they just, the gag reel, man, they just look like they're having so much fun.
Yep.
I was like, damn, I'd like to hang out with those guys.
You get to hang out with us.
Yeah.
Isn't that just the same?
Yeah, you see the gag reel from this show.
Come on.
Oh, those guys having fun.
Come on.
You ain't just whistling Dixie.
Before I get to the other celebrity birthdays, as I mentioned, it's Kevin's birthday today, but I got a quick email regarding the Comic-Con.
Okay.
Again. Talking, this is a listener Jonathan who sent this in, about the fact that they announced at the San Diego Comic Book Convention that the Star Trek prequel that's going to be helmed by J.J. Abrams has cast Zachary Quinto from Heroes, who plays Siler on that show, as the new Mr. Spock.
Right.
Jonathan asks me, Ralph, I know you went to Comic-Con, and I'm assuming that's where you heard the news that Zachary Quinto will be the new Spock. Were you as surprised as I was by this casting? Sure, Mr. Quinto looks enough like Leonard Nimoy to be a Vulcan, but I'm surprised he landed the role because you would think the studios would want to have hire someone with more notoriety. He's not exactly a famous name in the acting business, and yet they're putting him in the charge of one of the most famous characters in all of science fiction. Although, in his defense, I'm sure once he plays the role, everyone will appreciate it and his stock will rise. In fact, I'm sure that Spock will make him famous. Jonathan, well done, my friend. I appreciate you thinking of me.
Make him famous, make him famous. Make him famous, make him famous, make him famous. Make him famous, make him famous, make him famous. Or make him famous.
Spock will make him famous.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that. Wes Craven also celebrating his birthday today. Director of Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, Hills Have Eyes, a lot of great horror films. He is 68 years old today. Mary Louise Parker, one of our faves over there on Weeds on Showtimes. Showtime, rather. She is 43 years old today. I had a hard time getting through that one. Edward Furlong from Terminator 2 is 30 years old today. And Peter O'Toole, legendary British actor. Lawrence of Arabia, probably his most famous performance, but he's going to be seen on The Tudors next season on Showtime as the Pope. Oh, now that's what I envy. I want to play the Pope. Whatever with Kevin Smith's career, I want to play the Pope.
All right.
Well, I don't even get that. I don't what does that have to do with
Rodney? What are you talking about?
What does that mean? Well, stop it then.
You're all right.
Peter O'Toole's 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There are many greats in the world of motocross. And make no mistake, Jeremy McGrath has earned his spot as one of them.
Jeremy McGrath brings his crowd alive.
Number two, Jeremy McGrath. It's the return of the king.
And McGrath takes the victory.
Jeremy McGrath back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
What's up, you guys?
How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Pretty exciting day. X Games 13. Did you ever think when it all began that it would be what it is today?
No. I actually never had. I never did, for sure. And I actually never even thought I'd be in it. So it's pretty cool.
Now, what are the events that you're going to be in? You're going to do the Moto X Step Up.
Yeah, Moto X Step Up's on Friday night tomorrow. I think it's on TV. It should be on ESPN about 6 to 7.
For those of you that haven't seen that, it's basically high jumping, but they do it on a motorcycle.
Yeah, we
pole vaulting. It's like pole vaulting.
Really?
It's that high. They just shoot straight up in the air on a motorcycle and go over a bar.
Oh, my God.
Try not to hit it with their back tire,
jeez.
You know?
Jeez. Yeah. Or front tire. When
or front tire, right. Yeah. That's a bizarre one. And then you're doing Moto X Supermoto Racing?
Yep. Supermoto's the dirt bike that we ride with the slicks on there, kind of half street, half dirt.
Yeah, they go inside Home Depot on the dirt, and then they go outside into the parking lot on the asphalt, and then they come back in on the dirt, back out on the asphalt.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a question for Mr. McGrath as I hear him describing what he's doing at the X Games 13 this weekend. How's retirement working out for you, Jeremy?
You know, retirement's not what everyone thinks it is.
Yeah, it's a lot more work, right?
Yeah. I think I'm busier now than when I was actually racing full-time, so it's pretty funny. You always sit home for a second and you wish you had more time off, but, you know, I'm just happy to have the opportunities that I have, and, shoot, I'm just keeping myself busy.
Yeah, and the truth is, you enjoy it, you enjoy the riding, and it's what you'd be doing in your free time anyway, so why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't trade my job for anything, and, you know, it's not a five-day-a-week thing. It's, you know, now it's a little more sporadic throughout the stuff, but I got to go and travel a little bit more and sign stuff and do stuff for sponsors, which, yeah, it's not all that bad. I mean, I don't have the pressure of racing full-time anymore, and so, yeah.
When did you officially retire? Was that 4 years ago?
Yeah, 2002.
2002?
2002, 5 years ago.
That is a hell of a retirement you got working on. I hope I don't have that plan.
But you know what's cool, though, Jeremy, besides the fact, I mean, you're right, you got a great job, is anyone who can have a job where they are known as the king of something, you're king of Supercross, if you can be king of almost anything, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean...
It's good to be the king.
Yeah, it's good to be the king. Good to be the king, sure.
What was the... I saw something on the news the other day. I didn't catch all the details. Did you have some big statue unveiled of you somewhere recently?
Yeah, actually at the AMA Museum back there in Ohio, when I retired in 02, they dedicated a kind of a life-size style bronze statue. And the picture or the bronze statue that they made was in the... It's a picture of me doing a knack-knack.
Right.
Which is kind of, you know, it's historic to the sport, and it's a little bit like kind of when you think of the knack-knack, people think about me. So it's, yeah, I mean, I went back for the unveiling last week in Ohio, and it was something else, man. It was, you know, I never, when it was said in 02, when they said it was going to happen, I actually was pretty excited that it came true.
I'm just guessing here, but there will never be a statue of Bean or myself, ever.
There'll never be a statue of, I mean, that's just not something that ever anyone ever grows up to have as a statue erected of them. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, you guys never know. Hey, you can never say never, right?
Oh, Jeremy, we can say never.
What events that you're not participating in, Jeremy, are you personally excited about this weekend and next games? Because there are, you know, there's so many things to see. What turns you on?
Well, before I ever raced motocross, BMX was one of my favorite things. I raced BMX, so I really like watching the bike guys in the park. They get really crazy, and the BMX dirt is really cool.
Yeah.
But one of the things this weekend that they're having is Supercross at X Games. It's going to be the first time ever, so I'm excited about that because that's basically, you know, what I've done my whole life.
Right.
I am not competing in that, but I do get lucky enough to sit next to Sal and do the TV. So,
oh, awesome!
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
So there's gonna be ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC. There's programming on all three networks starting today.
Okay.
And of course, expn.go.com too. There's a lot of obviously coverage on the internet. You know, we've had a lot of great guests this week. We had Ryan Scheckler on. We talked to Sal early in the week. We've been catching up with a lot of the guys. We've got Matt tomorrow. But I wanted to ask because we haven't touched on this with any of the guests. How are the women's sports evolving at X Games? I know there was quite a bit of heat last year. Are you feeling much of that or seeing much improvement on that side of the event?
You know, I don't think they have a lot of events yet. I think they have skateboarding, like women's vert and women's big air, something like that. Mm-hmm. But,
and they added surfing this year, too. I know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I really, you know what? When you get to the X Games, when we get there, our schedule is, like, so crazy that I haven't had a chance to see any of that stuff. But I put it all on record on the DVR. So
sure, right.
We'll get to see all of it.
You know, I'm just thinking about, the kids today, like kids that are Kevin's kids' age, for instance. They've grown up their whole lives watching the X Games and being influenced by seeing the things that you guys do. And I bet more and more girls are probably going into some of those sports, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
If you want to meet Jeremy McGrath, I guess Saturday at 4 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah, we're having an autograph signing there, yeah.
At the Thor booth at the X Fest in Home Depot Center. So that's Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And then, again, Jeremy's going to do the Moto X Step Up Friday, 7 o'clock, Staples Center. And then Saturday, 1:45, Home Depot for the Moto X Supermoto race.
Are you guys going to get to come down there and check some of it out?
Yes, sir. I'm coming to all of it.
All right, good.
I love it. I go every day, every year, and I love it.
Yeah, I know. I love it, too. I miss it when it's not on, that's for sure.
Jeremy McGrath, thanks a lot for talking to us, and best luck this weekend.
Hey, you guys. Hope to see you there. Thanks a lot, man, for having me on.
You bet.
He doesn't feel like he belongs here.
He feels better elsewhere.
Radiohead on 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ at 9:39.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You pick up the phone, you get on the air, you get a prize. Today it's a CityWalk Cinemas prize package for four with movie tickets and parking at Universal CityWalk Cinemas. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll start with whom today?
Let's go with Daniel in Whittier. Good morning, Daniel.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I'm a huge fan of Flight of the Conchords, as you guys are as well.
How great is that show?
It's so amazing. It's even more amazing in Spanish. My mother doesn't like the show in English. In Spanish, she thinks it's hilarious.
What?
That's so weird.
On HBO Latino, which is like the Spanish HBO,
right.
On Mondays, because they play the show on Sundays, on Mondays they do all the Spanish programming. They translate the songs from start to finish. It is hilarious to hear David Bowie in Spanish.
Oh, sure.
Let me ask you this. The actors that overdub the voices for Brett and Jermaine, do they have a New Zealand accent too, except they're speaking Spanish?
They don't have a New Zealand accent, but they don't have that bad Spanish accent that you hear when you listen, like when you see the A-Team in Spanish. They're like, hola, como estas? It doesn't sound like Spanish
right.
Dracula. It sounds like it's a pretty good translation, but they don't have an accent.
Those of you that haven't seen that show yet, it's Flight of the Conchords. It's on HBO. It's super funny. They sing funny songs, and they're very creative guys.
Hola, Brett. Yo tengo new canción.
Thank you, Daniel.
That's an outstanding tip. We got to check that out. I hear Mayor Villaraigosa is dating one of the women who does the overdubbing on the show in Spanish, too.
Not surprised.
Let's say good morning to Andrew in Pasadena. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What to do?
Morning, Lisa. What to do? Much ado, I should say.
Yeah.
What?
The Bourne Identity. I heard Ralph moaning that he didn't get an invite.
Yeah.
The Bourne Ultimatum,
they
you mean?
They passed me over for Bourne.
Yeah. You know, I'm not really in the movie review business, but...
Right. Neither am I.
I got an invite, and it kicked ass.
Oh, really? It's good.
Okay. Yeah,
you saw it. You're just rubbing it in Ralph's face now.
Really strong.
How did you get invited, Andrew?
A friend of a friend, and I work at Scuba Diving Magazine, so they floated me an invite.
They floated
them. Did they float it to you over at Scuba?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's been a while, guys, since I've seen either of the Bourne movies, but the deal is he wakes up with amnesia, doesn't know what he's in the middle of or why
right.
he's being chased or who's trying to kill him or anything like
in
that.
The first one, if wakes up with amnesia, you mean he was shot, left to drown in the ocean, was picked up by a fishing boat with no memory? Yeah, then that's what
That was
happened.
The first one, and he kind of discovers that, hey, he can fight and he can run and he can shoot. Where did I learn all this? And he's trying to figure it out. This series is fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And we have Matt Damon tomorrow morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Great.
Very excited about that.
I insist we speak with Jennifer in Los Angeles on Line 7 immediately and speak to no one else until I hear Jennifer's voice on my phone.
Hi. He insists.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, what to do?
What to do?
Hey, I have like a 60-something-year-old coworker.
Uh-huh.
Been working with him for a while. He looks like Mr. Burns.
Right.
And all of a sudden he comes in one day and decides he's going to wear a miniskirt and tell everybody he's having a sex change.
Really? Awesome.
Wow.
At that age, he finally decided that he's going to turn into a woman.
Well, I guess it's been a while. He didn't tell anybody, but he came in with his license that actually they change your sex on your license and everything.
Wow.
How about that?
I always wonder about those people like the guy you describe who get the sex change, and they're so ugly as a woman, and they, for the rest of whatever years they have left, will just look like a guy pretending to be a woman. It's not like they're ever going to look like a woman. Is that really better than living as a man?
Well, I actually got a picture sent over to me through email.
Yes.
He, sadly enough, looks better as a woman.
See,
oh,
there you
no.
go.
Well, maybe he's one of the exceptions then.
And look at 60, you know, it's harder to get your thrills. I mean, you really pretty much run through everything. You got to work hard to get something really kinky going. So.
I guess, but sex change, I'm not sure I'm going for that. All right,
we'll
let's
see when you're 60. We'll revisit that with you when you're 60, Kevin. You might be all ready.
Let's go to Cassidy in Laverne. Good morning, Cassidy.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Cassidy.
I think it's total crap that how much crap you guys give Barry Bonds.
Really?
Because he's earned it. We're not giving it to him for free. He deserves it.
Well, what about Mark McGwire? What about all the other record holders that have been on the juice?
Yeah, that's crap, too.
But more importantly, they haven't been horrible human beings and a-holes.
See, that's the thing, is it's not just the juice. It's also that this guy's an a-hole. He's a horrible team player. He doesn't, you know, communicate with anybody. He's just a hateful, awful human being.
Because he doesn't talk to the press? Is that why?
No.
No, he treats his teammates like crap, and he cheats on his wife, and he cheats on his taxes, and he's a scumbag.
Well, you pretty much described every athlete that's ever played a sport.
No, we didn't.
No, we haven't.
You know, I'm gonna say two names to you very much in the news this week, and they are Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between guys like that, both just inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and Barry Bonds. You can't lump them all together just because they're athletes that they're all a-holes. Barry Bonds is an exceptional a-hole.
Well, I'm not gonna.
He's a better a-hole than most a-holes. All right, I'm putting you on hold, Cassidy. I can't take you anymore.
We reject you totally.
I enjoy his condescending laughter.
Let's go to Ashley in Sierra Madre. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
Hello, Lisa Legs.
Hi,
Lisa
Ashley.
Legs. Nice.
That was her dancing name.
Oh, all right.
What's going
Wonderful.
On?
Wonderful. I am calling to let the world know there are folks out there who get their pizza and they tip. And they give you 11 cents change, except at the door they say, keep the change. So you go to your car thinking, oh, I got hopefully $2. And you get there and they give you 36 cents. Which is why I would like him to say here, I would like you to take the 45 cents that I have left over because I'm cheap.
Bitter party of one.
I'm just pizza.
No, I listen.
Are you a delivery girl, Ashley?
Of
Are you a
course.
Pizza delivery girl?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
What led you to think pizza. That, Ralph?
I'm just saying, that's the perfect world right there. You know? I've seen the movies.
Yeah, really? So you're saying that if it costs $19.51, that they'll give you a 20 and say keep it?
Keep the change. Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Ashley, I'm going to suggest to you that maybe you, young woman showing up at my door with a pizza, are not doing enough to earn your tip.
I have wink, the wink. Smallest shirt possible.
Well, let's start. That's a start.
She's working it.
Smallest skirt possible. All right. Do you look good in a skirt? I have to ask, because if you're not getting tips.
It's a tight shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, the truth is there's some people who just don't tip. Some people are a-holes that order pizza, just like people are a-holes that play baseball. Not much you can do about everybody in the world.
However, you can't throw a brick through their window.
That's true.
That's what I would choose to do.
We can TP them.
Yeah, exactly. Revenge.
That's the way to do it.
It makes everything better.
It was fun. Thank you for the idea.
You all bet. Right. Thank you. She kind of came up with the idea on her own, but all right. That's fine. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, I think that we're probably pretty much out of time. I want to thank all of our special guests on the Kevin Bean Show today, including Jeremy McGrath. Again, X Games starts today. There's a ton of coverage. If you're not there in person, you can watch it on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, 14 hours of live programming, also expn.go.com. And we remind you again that your best shot at tickets is going to be Sunday. That's where the most are available. A lot of the other stuff is pretty close to sold out. Also, we want to thank actor Austin Nichols. You don't know the name, but he is the guy who plays John from Cincinnati Sunday nights at 9 on HBO with two big episodes left. The most honked up show on television, perhaps,
yes.
Right now. But thanks to Austin for coming on today.
Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Matt Damon.
Yes.
The star of Born Uncle Ben on the program tomorrow. We have plushies tomorrow. I don't know if you saw Entourage this past week, but people who have sex with other people that are dressed up as stuffed animals.
Yeah.
Where's that? What's that, Lisa? You would know. What? Where are those people coming from? What is the turn on? Is that a childhood thing that somehow stuck with them or what?
Why would Lisa know?
Yeah, why would I know that?
Because Lisa's a goer. She's been around.
I don't know, but apparently there's a fair amount of them. Don't they have a convention every year?
I don't know.
Yeah, they have magazines and websites and the whole deal. And some people are into dressing up as the stuffed animals. Some people are into their partner being the stuffed animal.
Right.
Some people want to both be the stuffed animals.
Chris Angel tomorrow, The Secrets of Success. He tells you how to be rich and famous.
Oh, good.
My wife is actually finally turning on him, and she said, you have to watch this. This is horrible.
Oh, thank God.
Fantastic. She loved him.
Pointed it out. Bringing in clips tomorrow.
Wow.
Tomorrow's also Movie Beat. It's Friday, so we're going to have Ralph tell you what movies are in the theater. Matt Hoffman tomorrow as we continue talking about the X Games. Mm-hmm. And we world premiered The Pretender from Foo Fighters earlier this morning. And tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to Dave Grohl all about that.
Okay.
Fantastic. I love Dave. Always love talking to him.
Me too.
Let me see. Cat Corbis up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. We'll play some Weezer for you. Also, Incubus, Blink-182, new music from Velvet Revolver. And I suspect you'll be hearing the new Foos again sometime soon if you haven't caught it yet. It's a fantastic song. And all that is straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.